Good morning. Welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. A lot happening today in Davos. President Donald Trump is actually speaking right now in Switzerland. He literally just jumped off the plane and went straight to the podium. Let's listen in.
Just 6 hours of fighting and was totally unable to defend either itself or Greenland. So the United States was then compelled. We did it. We felt an obligation to do it, to send our own forces to hold the Greenland territory, and hold it we did at great cost and expense. They didn't have a chance of getting on it, and they tried. Denmark knows that. We literally set up bases on Greenland for Denmark. We fought for Denmark. We weren't fighting for anyone else. We were fighting to save it for Denmark. Big, beautiful piece of ice. It's hard to call it land. It's a big piece of ice. But we saved Greenland and successfully prevented our enemies from gaining a foothold in our hemisphere. So we did it for ourselves also. And then after the war, which we won it big. Without us, right now you'd all be speaking German and a little Japanese, perhaps. After the war, we gave Greenland back to Denmark. How stupid were we to do that? But we did it. But we gave it back. But how ungrateful are they now? So now our country and the world face much greater risks than it did ever before because of missiles, because of nuclear, because of weapons of warfare that I can't even talk about. 2 weeks ago, they saw weapons that nobody ever heard of. They weren't able to fire one shot at us. They said, what happened? Everything was discombobulated. They said, we've got them in our sights. Press the trigger, and nothing happened. No anti-aircraft missiles went up. There was one that went up about 30 feet and crashed down right next to the people that sent it. They said, what the hell is going on? Those defensive systems were made by Russia and by China. So they're going to go back to the drawing boards, I guess. Greenland is a vast, almost entirely uninhabited and undeveloped territory, sitting undefended in a key strategic location between the United States, Russia, and China. That's exactly where it is, right smack in the middle. Wasn't important nearly when we gave it back. You know, when we gave it back, it wasn't the same as it is now. It's not important for any other reason, you know, to everyone talks about the minerals. There's so many places. There's no rare earth. No such thing as rare earth. There's rare processing. But there's so much rare earth. And this to get to this rare earth, you got to go through hundreds of feet of ice. That's not the reason we need it. We need it for strategic national security and international security. This enormous, unsecured island is actually part of North America, on the northern frontier of the Western Hemisphere. That's our territory. It is therefore a core national security interest of the United States of America. And in fact, it's been our policy for hundreds of years to prevent outside threats from entering our hemisphere, and we've done it very successfully. We've never been stronger than we are now. That's why American presidents have sought to purchase Greenland for nearly two centuries. You know, for two centuries, they've been trying to do it. They should have kept it after World War II, but they had a different president. That's all right. People think differently. Much more necessary now than it was at that time, however. In 2019, Denmark said that they would spend over $200 million to strengthen Greenland's defenses. But as you know, they spent less than 1% of that amount. 1%, there's no sign of Denmark there. And I say that with great respect for Denmark, whose people I love, whose leaders are very good. It's the United States alone that can protect this giant mass of land, this giant piece of ice. Develop it and improve it.
All right, we're up against a hard commercial break. President Trump speaking in Davos. We're going to hit the pause button there to make sure you don't miss anything. And we'll be right back in about 1 minute. Don't go anywhere.
I'm not an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot. and a journalist and a pundit and analysis and a futurist and father and a guy who loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer. It just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, Dakota Waylon Jennings.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning. Welcome to the American Journal. President Donald J. Trump has landed and made his way straight to the podium in Davos, Switzerland. Right now, he's speaking in front of the World Economic Forum, and it's getting interesting. Let's listen back in.
It's the United States alone that can protect this giant mass of land, this giant piece of ice, develop it and improve it and make it so that it's good for Europe and safe for Europe and good for us. And that's the reason I'm seeking immediate negotiations to once again discuss the acquisition of Greenland by the United States, just as we have acquired many other territories throughout our history, as many of the European nations have. They've acquired. There's nothing wrong with it. Many of them, some went in reverse, actually, if you look. Some had great, vast wealth, great, vast lands all over the world. They went in reverse. They stuck back where they started. That happens, too. But some grow. But this would not be a threat to NATO. This would greatly enhance the security of the entire alliance, the NATO alliance. The United States is treated very unfairly by NATO. I want to tell you that. When you think about it, nobody can dispute it. We give so much and we get so little in return. And I've been a critic of NATO for many years. And yet I've done more to help NATO than any other president by far, than any other person. You wouldn't have NATO if I didn't get involved in my first term. The war with Ukraine is an example. We are thousands of miles away, separated by a giant ocean. It's a war that should have never started, and it wouldn't have started if the 2020 U.S. presidential election weren't rigged. It was a rigged election. Everybody now knows that. They found out. People will soon be prosecuted for what they did. It's probably breaking news, but it should be. It was a rigged election. Can't have rigged elections. You need strong borders, strong elections, and ideally a good press. I always say it. Strong borders, strong elections, free, fair elections, and a fair media. The media is terrible. It's very crooked. It's very biased, terrible. But someday it'll straighten out because it's losing all credibility. Think of it. When I went in a landslide, a giant landslide, won all seven swing states, won the popular vote, won everything, and I only get negative press. That means that it has no credibility. And if they're going to get credibility, they're going to have to be fair. So you need a fair press. But you also need those other elements. And I inherited a terrible, terrible situation. If you look, the border was open. The inflation was raging. Everything was bad with the United States when I came into office. But I also inherited a mess with Ukraine and Russia, something that would have never happened. And I know Putin very well. He and I would discuss Ukraine. It was the apple of his eye, but he wasn't going to do anything. I said, Vladimir, you're not doing it. He would never have done it. It was terrible what happened. I could see it happening, too. After I left, I could see it happening. Biden had given Ukraine and NATO $350 billion, a staggering sum, $350 billion. I came in, and just like the southern border, just like inflation, just like our economy, I said, wow, this place is in trouble, meaning our country. All of these things were out of control. But the border was out of control. We fixed it with the strongest border anywhere in the world. And I've now been working on this war for 1 year, during which time I settled 8 other wars, India, Pakistan. I settled other wars that were Vladimir Putin called me, Armenia, Azerbaijan. He said, I can't believe you settled that one. They were going on for 35 years. I settled it in 1 day. And President Putin called me. He said, you know, I can't believe I worked on that war for 10 years trying to settle it. I couldn't do it. I said, do me a favor, focus on settling your war. Don't worry about that one. What does the United States get out of all of this work, all of this money, other than death, destruction, and massive amounts of cash going to people who don't appreciate what we do? They don't appreciate what we do. Talking about NATO, I'm talking about Europe. They have to work on Ukraine. We don't. The United States is very far away. We have a big, beautiful ocean separating us. We have nothing to do with it. Until I came along, NATO was only supposed to pay 2% of GDP. But they weren't paying. Most of the countries weren't paying anything. The United States was paying for virtually 100% of NATO. And I got that stopped. I said, that's not fair. But then more importantly, I got NATO to pay 5%, and now they were paying, and now they are paying. So something nobody said was possible. They said, we will never go up higher than 2%. But they went to 5%, and now they're paying the 5%. They didn't pay the 2%, and now they're paying the 5%. And they're stronger for it, and they have an excellent, by the way, Secretary General, who's possibly in the room. Mark, are you here? Yes, he's here. Hello, Mark. We never asked for anything, and we never got anything. We probably won't get anything unless I decide to use excessive strength and force, where we would be, frankly, unstoppable. But I won't do that. Okay? Now everyone's saying, oh, good. That's probably the biggest statement I made, because people thought I would use force. I don't have to use force. I don't want to use force. I won't use force. All the United States is asking for is a place called Greenland, where we already had it, as a trustee, but respectfully returned it back to Denmark not long ago after we defeated the Germans, the Japanese, the Italians, and others in World War II. We gave it back to them. We were a powerful force then, but we are a much more powerful force now. After I rebuilt the military in my first term and continue to do so today, we have a budget of $1.5 trillion. We're bringing back battleships. The battleship is 100 times more powerful than the great battleships you saw in World War II, those great, big, gorgeous ships, the Missouri, the Iowa, the Alabama. Because I thought maybe we could take them out of mothballs. They said, no, sir, these ships are 100, think of that, 100 times more powerful than those big, big, magnificent pieces of art that you saw so many times ago that you still see on television. You say, wow, what a force. 100 times, each ship, 100 times more powerful than the big battleships of the past. So that was the end of the mothball story. So what we have gotten out of NATO is nothing except to protect Europe from the Soviet Union and now Russia. I mean, we've helped them for so many years. We've never gotten anything except we pay for NATO. And we paid for many years until I came along. We paid for, in my opinion, 100% of NATO because they weren't paying their bills. And all we're asking for is to get Greenland, including right title and ownership, because you need the ownership to defend it. You can't defend it on a lease. Number one, legally, it's not defensible that way, totally. And number two, psychologically, who the hell wants to defend a license agreement or a lease, which is a large piece of ice in the middle of the ocean where, if there is a war, much of the action will take place on that piece of ice. Think of it. Those missiles would be flying right over the center of that piece of ice. All we want from Denmark for national and international security and to keep our very energetic and dangerous potential enemies at bay is this land on which we're going to build the greatest golden dome ever built. We're building a golden dome that's going to, just by its very nature, going to be defending Canada. Canada gets a lot of freebies from us, by the way. They should be grateful also, but they're not. I watched your prime minister yesterday. He wasn't so grateful. But they should be grateful to us. Canada lives because of the United States. Remember that, Mark, the next time you make your statements. What we did for Israel was amazing, but that's nothing compared to what we have planned for the United States, Canada, and the rest of the world. We are going to build a dome like no other. We did it. We did it for Israel. And by the way, I told Bibi, stop taking credit for the dome. That's our technology. That's our stuff. But they had a lot of courage and they were good fighters and they did a good job. And we wiped out the Iran nuclear threat like nobody can believe. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. That, Venezuela, taking down Soleimani, wiping out al-Baghdadi when he tried to reinstitute ISIS. We did a lot. I did a lot of big things, all perfectly executed. Everyone was perfectly executed. Somebody told me that, a military expert told me, sir, everything you've done has been perfectly executed. I said, I know. So other presidents have spent, whether foolishly or not, trillions and trillions of dollars on NATO and gotten absolutely nothing in return. We've never asked for anything. It's always a one-way street. Now they want us to help them with Ukraine. And let me say, we're going to. I'm really helping, not even them. I want to see, last week, if you saw, it was 10,000 soldiers, but last month it was 31,000 soldiers died. 31,000. That's this room times, the number of people in this room times 30. Think of it. 30,000 soldiers died in 1 month. The month before it was 27,000. The month before that it was 28,000. The month before that it was 25,000. It's a bloodbath over there. And that's what I want to stop. It doesn't help the United States, but these are souls. These are young people. Look like you, look like some of you right in the front row. They go to war. Their parents are so proud. Oh, there he goes, comes back. 2 weeks later, they get a call. Your son's head's been blown off. I want to stop it. It's a horrible war. It's the worst since World War II. They keep going. It'll exceed World War II. The numbers are staggering, how many people they've lost. They don't want to talk about it. Ukraine and Russia lost just tremendous amounts. And I'm dealing with President Putin, and he wants to make a deal, I believe. I'm dealing with President Zelensky, and I think he wants to make a deal. I'm meeting him today. He might be in the audience right now. But they got to get that war stopped because too many people are dying, needlessly dying. Too many souls are being lost. It's the only reason I'm interested in doing it. But in doing it, I'm helping Europe, I'm helping NATO, and I've until the last few days when I told them about Iceland, they loved me. They called me daddy, right, last time. A very smart man said, he's our daddy. He's running it. I was like running it. I went from running it to being a terrible human being. But now what I'm asking for is a piece of ice, cold and poorly located, that can play a vital role in world peace and world protection. It's a very small ask compared to what we have given them for many, many decades. But the problem with NATO is that we'll be there for them 100%. But I'm not sure that they'd be there for us. If we gave them the call, gentlemen, we are being attacked. We're under attack by such and such a nation. I know them all very well. I'm not sure that they'd be there. I know we'd be there for them. I don't know that they'd be there for us. So with all of the money we expend, with all of the blood, sweat, and tears, I don't know that they'd be there for us. They're not there for us on Iceland, that I can tell you. I mean, our stock market took the first dip yesterday because of Iceland. So Iceland's already cost us a lot of money. But that dip is peanuts compared to what it's gone up. And we have an unbelievable future in that stock. That stock market is going to be doubled. We're going to hit 50,000, and that stock market's going to double in a relatively short period of time because of everything that's happening. But this is a good example. After giving NATO and European nations trillions and trillions of dollars in defense, they buy our weapons. We make the greatest weapons in the world, but now we're going to make them faster, much faster. You saw that. I put a cap on the salaries, and I put no buybacks, no stock buybacks, no various other things that they were doing. I mean, they were making $50 million, but it would take them 3 years to give you a Patriot missile. I said, that's not good. My chauffeur can do a better job than that, and he makes slightly less than 50. They make big salaries. If they're going to make those big salaries, they're going to have to produce a lot faster. The good news is we have the greatest equipment in the world. Now we're going to start making it a lot faster. They're going to build additional plants. And all of the money that goes into stock buybacks is going to go into building plants. We're not allowing stock buybacks by defense companies any longer. They're going to build new plants to make Tomahawks, Patriots. We have the best equipment, F-35s. F-47, the new one just coming out. They say it's the most devastating plane, fighter jet ever. Who knows? They called it 47. If I don't like it, I'm going to take the 47 off it. I wonder why they called it 47. We'll have to think about that. But if I don't like it, I'm going to take that 47 off. But it's supposed to be the stage six. It's supposed to be the first stage six plane, undetectable, like our B-2 bombers were undetectable. They flew right over Iran. They were undetectable. And they did their job, and they got the hell out of there. So we want a piece of ice for world protection, and they won't give it. We've never asked for anything else, and we could have kept that piece of land, and we didn't. So they have a choice. You can say yes, and we will be very appreciative, or you can say no, and we will remember. A strong and secure America means a strong NATO. And that's one reason why I'm working every day to ensure our military is very powerful. Our borders are very strong. And above all, our economy is strong because national security requires economic security and economic prosperity. And we have the greatest that we've ever had. Biden and his allies destroyed our economy and gave us perhaps the worst inflation in American history. They say 48 years, I say forever, but I think 48 years is the equivalent to forever. Whether it's 48 years or ever, it's terrible, costing the typical family $33,000. What they did to this country should never, ever be forgotten. It's early. But he has to be rated as the worst president we've ever had by far. The auto pen did much of the damage. The auto pen, he was the auto pen president. Because I don't believe a sane president would have ever signed the kind of things that he signed. But now grocery prices, energy prices, airfares, mortgage rates, rent, and car payments are all coming down, and they're coming down fast. We inherited a mess. But we've done a hell of a job in 12 months. Under my most favored nation policy for drug prices, the cost of prescription drugs is coming down by up to 90%, depending on the way you calculate. You could also say 500, 600, 700, 800%. There are two ways of figuring that. But we have a favored nation's policy that every president wanted, no president was able to get. I got it, and other nations approved it. And I had to use tariffs in order to get it, because they said, no way. In other words, a pill that costs 10% in London costs $130. Think it costs $10 in London, costs $130 in New York or in Los Angeles. And I'd say, boy, that's bad. Friends of mine would say, you know, we go to London, you can buy this stuff for nothing. We go all over the world, we can buy it for nothing. Because basically America was subsidizing every nation in the world. because presidents allowed them to get away with it. It became very tough. So when I called up Emmanuel Macron, I watched him yesterday with those beautiful sunglasses. What the hell happened? But I watched him sort of be tough. But he was at $10 for a pill. And I said, Emmanuel, and I have all the big pharmaceutical companies are in total agreement. It wasn't easy, by the way. They're tough, smart. They've been getting away with the scam for a long time. But they gave it up. But they said, you'll never get the countries to approve it. I said, why is that? Because they won't. They always said, we're not paying any more. Get the rest for the United States. So over the years, they stayed the same. We just went up, up, up. And I mean, we would pay 13, 14, 15 times more than some certain countries would. So I said, no, they'll approve it 100%. Sir, you'll never get them to approve it. I said, I guarantee you. But I actually started with Emmanuel, who probably is in the room too. And I like him. I actually like him. Hard to believe, isn't it? And I said, Emmanuel, you're going to have to lift the price of that pill to $20, maybe $30. Think of that. That means it's a doubling of prescription drugs. Might be a tripling, might be a quadrupling. It's not easy. No, 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 Donald, I will not do that. I said, yes, you will, 100%. He said, no, no, no. You're asking me to double. I said, Emmanuel, you've been taking advantage of the United States for 30 years with prescription drugs. You really should do it, and you will do it. I have no doubt. In fact, I am 100% sure you're going to. No, 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 I will not do it. Because, yes, in all fairness to him, he has to double or triple. Because the world being a bigger place than the United States, it's not that you meet in the middle. You just have to go up some, and we come down a lot. They go up a little, we come down a lot. So we're at $130, they're at 10. So they may have to go to 20 or 30. No more than that. I said, Emmanuel, you're going to be doubling or tripling? No, no, no. He said, here's the story, Emmanuel. The answer is you're going to do it. You're going to do it fast. And if you don't, I'm putting a 25% tariff on everything that you sell into the United States and a 100% tariff on your wines and champagnes. And that's about 10 times more than what I'm requesting. And you're going to do it. I don't want to go public with it, but you may make me do that. No, no, Donald, I will do it. I will do it. It took me, on average, 3 minutes a country saying the same thing. You will do it. They all said, no, 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 I will not do it. You're asking me to double the cost of prescription. I said, that's right, because you've been screwing us for 30 years. And they said, we will not do it. I said, that's all right. On Monday morning, we're putting a 25, 30, 50. I gave different numbers for different countries. This is also national security we're talking about. Can't not fair. We're not going to subsidize the whole world. And every one of those countries have agreed to do it. So one of the biggest things that I've done is the fact that we have now most.
All right, we're going to hit the pause button here as the president continues to speak in Davos. We'll get back to that in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, make sure you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. We have incredible sales going on at this very moment. Different discounts for different items over thealexjonesstore.com. Head on over there right now. We'll be right back with President Trump live in Davos.
I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. It was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss. It's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's
like,
amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fights will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. We have an incredible lineup coming your way in just a bit. Tons of stories we're going to continue to be covering, but President Trump is still at that podium over in Davos right now, speaking in front of the World Economic Forum. And he just told European leaders that you guys call me daddy. That was his line. And man, oh man, we were cracking up on that one. But President Trump is still speaking. So let's jump on back in.
So one of the biggest things that I've done is the fact that we have now most favored nation. We will pay whatever the lowest price is in the entire world. So our drug prices are going to be coming down by staggering 90%. Again, you could say 1,000%, 2,000%. Depends on the way you want to figure it, but we'll go with the way the fake news likes it better because it sounds, can you imagine a 90% reduction sounds much worse. But drug prices are going to be coming down tremendously in all the nations, and I appreciate them doing it, but they did it. In all fairness, without tariffs, I wouldn't have been able to get it done. After declining $3,000 under Biden, real incomes are up in the United States by $2,000, $3,000, and even $5,000 and more. Home ownership has always been a symbol of health and vigor of American society, but that goal fell out of reach for millions and millions of people in the Biden era because interest rates went up so high. Today, I'm taking action to bring back this bedrock of the American dream. In recent years, Wall Street giants and institutional investment firms, many of you are here, many of you are good friends of mine, many of you are supporters. Sorry to do this to you. I'm so sorry. But you've driven up housing prices by purchasing hundreds of thousands of single-family homes, and it's been a great investment for them. Often as much as 10% of houses on the market. You know, the crazy thing is a person can't get depreciation on a house, but when a corporation buys it, they get depreciation. Okay, that's something we're going to have to think about, too. I don't know if too many people think about that. You buy a corporation, they buy 500 houses, they buy hundreds of thousands, they buy 500 houses, they can take depreciation. A person sweats and works and buys one house, they can't. But homes are built for people. Not for corporations, and America will not become a nation of renters. We're not going to do that. That's why I have signed an executive order banning large institutional investors from buying single-family homes. It's just not fair to the public. They're not able to buy a house. And I'm calling on Congress to pass that ban into permanent law, and I think they will. One of the biggest barriers to saving for a down payment has been surging credit card debt. The profit margin for credit card companies now exceeds 50%, one of the biggest. And they charge Americans interest rates of 28%, 30%, 31%, 32%, whatever happened to usury. So to help our citizens recover from the Biden disaster, all caused by this horrible, just horrible president, I'm asking Congress to cap credit card interest rates at 10% for 1 year. And this will help millions of Americans save for a home. They have no idea they're paying 28%. They go out there a little late in their payment and they end up losing their house. It's terrible. To unleash innovation in savings and financing, I'm also working to ensure America remains the crypto capital of the world. And to that end, last year, I signed the Landmark Genius Act into law. Now Congress is working very hard on crypto market structure legislation, Bitcoin, all of them, which I hope to sign very soon, unlocking new pathways for Americans to reach financial freedom. And I did it for two reasons. Number one, I thought it was politically good, and it was. I got tremendous political support. But more importantly, China wanted that market, too. It's just like they want the AI. And we've got that market, I think, pretty well locked up. If I didn't do it, you know, Biden was totally against it until before the election when they realized that, you know, there were millions of people voting against him over crypto. And all of a sudden they loved it very much, but it was too late. They blew it. But it is politically popular, but it's much more importantly, we have to make it so that China doesn't get the hold of it. And once they have that hold, we're not going to be able to get it back. So I'm honored to have done it. Finally, I've instructed government-backed institutions to purchase up to $200 billion in mortgage bonds to bring down interest rates. And I'll be announcing a new Fed chairman in the not-too-distant future. I think he'll do a very good job. See, I gave away some of it. He did give that away. So we have something, got something. But somebody that's very respected. They're all respected. They're all great. Everyone that I interviewed is great. Everyone could do, I think, a fantastic job. Problem is they change once they get the job. They do. You know, they're saying everything I want to hear, and then they get the job. They're locked in for 6 years. They get the job, and all of a sudden, let's raise rates a little bit. I call them, sir, we'd rather not talk about this. It's amazing how people change once they have the job. It's too bad. Sort of disloyalty, but they got to do what they think is right. We have a terrible chairman right now, Jerome Too Late Powell. He's always too late. And he's very late with interest rates, except before the election, he was just fine for the other side. So we're going to have somebody that's great, and we hope he does the right job. Last week, the average 30-year mortgage rate dropped below 6% for the first time in many years. Another major factor in driving up housing costs was the mass invasion of our borders. And I have to say one thing about housing, because nobody ever says this. I am very protective of people that already own a house. of which we have millions and millions and millions. And because we have had such a good run, the house values have gone up tremendously. And these people have become wealthy. They weren't wealthy. They become wealthy because of the house. And every time you make it more and more and more affordable for somebody to buy a house cheaply, you're actually hurting the value of those houses, obviously, because the one thing works in tandem with the other. And I don't want to do anything that's going to hurt the value of people that own a house who, for the first time in their lives, are walking around the streets of whatever city they're in, very proud that their house is worth $500,000, $600,000, $700,000. Now, if I want to really crush the housing market, I could do that so fast that people could buy houses, but you would destroy a lot of people that already have houses. In some cases, they've mortgaged their house, and the mortgage would be very low, and all of a sudden, the mortgage without any changes becomes very high, and they end up losing the house. I'm not going to hurt, and I speak with Scott, who's doing a fantastic job, and Howard, who's doing a fantastic job, and all of my people. And I always say, look, you know, I can crush the hell out of the market. We can drop interest rates to a level, and that's one thing we do want to do. That's natural. That's good for everybody. You know, the dropping of the interest rates, we should be paying a much lower interest rate than we are. We should be paying the lowest interest rate of any country in the world, because without the United States, you don't have a country. I mean, I had a case with Switzerland. We happened to be in Switzerland. Maybe I'll give you a quick story. But they were paying nothing. They make beautiful watches, great watches, Rolex, all of them. They were paying nothing to the United States when they sent their product in. And we had a $41 billion deficit, $41 billion with this beautiful place. Flew over it. Isn't it nice? So I said, let's put a 30% tariff on them so that we get back some of it, not all of it at all. We still have a deficit, big deficit. We had 40, 41 million. That's a big deficit. And I said, let's put a tariff on. Different tariffs, different places. You're all party to them, in some cases victims to them, but in the end, it's a fair thing. And most of you realize that. But we put a 30% tariff on Switzerland. And all hell broke loose. They were calling, I mean, like you wouldn't believe. And I know so many people from Switzerland, incredible place, incredible, brilliant place. But I then realized that they're only good because of us. And there's so many other examples. I mean, us, probably other places, but a majority of the money they make is because of us, because we never charged them anything. So they come in, they sell their watches. No tariffs, no nothing. They walk away. They make $41 billion on just us. So I said, no, we can't do that. So I'm going to bring it up. I still would have a deficit pretty substantial, but I brought it up to 30%. And the, I guess,
Prime Minister. All right, I want to jump on the speech that's going on right now in Davos. President Trump speaking in Switzerland. As many of you guys know, he arrived less than an hour ago and then went straight to the podium to deliver this speech. We're going to be following the president as he goes about his trip because he's speaking, obviously, to a lot of world leaders. And it's going to get very, very interesting. President Trump also speaking about Jerome Powell. You heard him there. Interesting enough, too, later today, the Supreme Court is going to begin hearing that big case against Lisa Cook. As many of you guys know, she's obviously one of the top officials over at the Fed. She's been fired by President Trump. She's challenging that firing, though, saying the president doesn't have the authority. And so that's what the Supreme Court's going to be listening to later today. President Trump also making it a very big issue in regards to housing concerns as well and how he's working on making sure that housing is, I guess, affordable for the American people, which is obviously a top priority going after the corporations. Like the guy who's running the WEF right now, BlackRock, for purchasing single-family homes and raising the cost on American citizens. That was kind of gutsy to call it out straight to his face because obviously he is one of the many individuals destroying this country by buying up properties. All right, folks, we're keeping our eye on that, though. Also, it's worth noting that a top official over in this administration also told the media that the president is not set yet to announce who's going to be replacing Jerome Powell. As many of you guys know, he's got a couple of weeks left in his position. and he is not going to be holding on to that job. So we look forward to hearing who is going to be replacing Jerome Powell. All right, I want to tell you what we got going on in this show, because it's not just WEF. We also have a great lineup of guests coming your way. In just a little bit, Aaron Reitz will be joining me in studio. As many of you know, Aaron Reitz is running for Texas AG. He is the only individual who's running the race who is not a career politician, which is a big one that we like a lot. But most importantly, he is not a coward. He is actually doing his very best to push back on the Islamists who are looking to conquer Texas. It has just released a brand new campaign video just a few moments ago, releasing a brand new campaign video, which outlines his commitment to fighting off the Islamists looking to conquer Texas. So look forward to having him in studio for that. We'll also be speaking with Whit Lyman, who is in Minneapolis. He went to the press conference yesterday. He actually was able to get a couple of questions in regards to the small businesses and the corporations who are trying to block federal agents from purchasing products in their stores in Minneapolis, as well as staying at their hotels. Whit Lyman will be joining us as well today to detail what he's learned on the ground. We'll also be joined by Sarah Gonzalez. Sarah's doing some digging, and it's the kind of digging we want. She's digging into the H-1B visa fraud that's going on all across the country, and she's just knocking on doors, not accusing anyone of anything, but they're not very happy to see Sarah when she arrives at their homes. We've got the very latest in her investigation, a little sneak peek as to what Sarah's working on. And surprise, surprise, all across Texas, guess what? Although they're dishing out these H-1B visas, it doesn't look to be that these are actual companies having dozens of H-1B visa employees working in their homes. Surprise, surprise. We'll also be joined by Raw Egg Nationalist in studio as well. He's got a new book that he just released. And so he's celebrating and joining us today over at InfoWars. We look forward to having him on the show. There's a lot of things that I want to talk about him with in regards to the MAHA movement. So he will be joining us in just a little bit, which I look forward to as well. Again, we're keeping our eye on the WEF. Now, I think it's very important that we kind of give you some overview as to what's been going on the ground. I've put together some of the most important clips I want to make sure you see, of course. Like before we jumped in, President Trump addressing the Biden regime's multiple failures in clip one. Take a listen.
I've come to this year's World Economic Forum with truly phenomenal news from America. Yesterday marked the one-year anniversary of my inauguration, and today, after 12 months back in the White House, our economy is booming, growth is exploding, productivity is surging, investment is soaring, incomes are rising. Inflation has been defeated. Our previously open and dangerous border is closed and virtually impenetrable. And the United States is in the midst of the fastest and most dramatic economic turnaround in our country's history. Under the Biden administration, America was plagued by the nightmare of stagflation, meaning low growth, and high inflation, a recipe for misery, failure, and decline. But now, after just 1 year of my policies, we are witnessing the exact opposite. Virtually no inflation and extraordinarily high economic growth.
All right, President Trump laying it all out there for the world to see, even calling out world leaders, referring to the European leaders who call him, quote, daddy. That was him. And he also went after Canada. Canada, the prime minister in Canada yesterday was absolutely disrespectful and tried going after the United States. President Trump reminding him, though, that Canada is only possible because of the U.S., because of our national security, even saying Canada lives because of the United States, and for the prime minister to remember just that. So the president's doing an incredible job calling it all the nonsense. And it's not just him. One of his great members of his cabinet, Howard Lutnick, as many of you guys know, he is doing an incredible job at calling everything out right now in Davos. And I gotta say, I was very excited when I saw him torch the globalists yesterday in clip two, and he continued it on into today as well. Take a listen.
Okay. We are in Davos at the World Economic Forum. And the Trump administration and myself, we are here to make a very clear point. Globalization has failed the West and the United States of America. It's a failed policy. It is what the WEF has stood for, which is export, offshore, far shore, Find the cheapest labor in the world, and the world is a better place for it. The fact is, it has left America behind. It has left the American workers behind. And what we are here to say is that America First is a different model, one that we encourage other countries to consider, which is that our workers come first. We can have policies that impact our workers. Sovereignty is your borders. You're entitled to have borders. You shouldn't offshore your medicine. You shouldn't offshore your semiconductors. You shouldn't offshore your entire industrial base and have it be hollowed out beneath you. You should not be dependent for that which is fundamental to your sovereignty on any other nation. And if you're going to be dependent on someone, it darn well better be your best allies. Okay? And so that is a different way of thinking. It is completely different than the WEF. I viewed the WEF as not a flagpole in the middle, but in fact, they are the flag. Whichever way the wind blew, so it blew. You should have solar. You should have wind. Why are you going to do solar and wind? Why would Europe agree to be net zero in 2030 when they don't make a battery? They don't make a battery. So if they go 2030, they are deciding to be subservient to China, who makes the batteries.
Yeah, that's what you want to hear from your officials over in the United States, making sure to represent over the WEF, telling them all that they're full of it. And we reject their globalist agenda. That is exactly what's going on right now. And we were excited to hear just that. But it's not everyone. There were some individuals, Senator Tillis referring to, who decided to take a moment when he was speaking with a independent journalist to praise the WEF and how they align with their agenda. Take a listen to clip three.
What's Trump's position on the WEF at the moment? Is he still anti, or is he for the WEF? You seem very anti-globalist.
Well, let me put it this way. I represent the Article One branch, and we're very supportive.
Okay, interesting.
Oh, cringe. You don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that, but it's exactly the reason why President Trump's agenda is not being pushed forward and being laminated by, you know, actual legislators looking to promote it and put it into law. That's what's happening right now in this country. And that was the most direct response we've heard thus far from any official openly admitting to standing in the way of President Trump's agenda and working for the WEF puppets, of course. But there's a couple of great journalists on the ground right now, like you just saw there, going on the ground and doing just that, calling it out and trying to confront these globalist pigs. I'm talking about the good folks over at Rebel News, who this is like their annual Christmas holiday celebrations. And they're going out there. They're confronting everyone that you and I both strongly dislike. People like Justin Trudeau. Remember that guy? That was a loser from Canada who now has Katy Perry as his girlfriend. The crazy one. Well, he's actually on the ground at the Davos celebration of the globalist pigs. And, well, he was confronted by the great journalist over Rebel News, and he didn't really like it. Take a listen to clip four.
Mr. Trudeau, what are you doing here at Davos?
No comment.
How come you never comment? This is the spirit of dialogue is the name of the conference. How come you won't dialogue, Prime Minister? Who paid for you to come here? Was it taxpayers? What do you make of the Federal Court of Appeal upholding the ruling that your martial law was illegal? They said you violated...
No, it's good to see you, Ezra. It's been a long time. How you been? How you been keeping?
Pretty well, but
you, been? No,
you didn't speak to me the
whole... worried about you.
I don't think you have.
You stopped speaking to me after the boxing match. I never heard from you again.
That's not true. Every time we tried to come into contact with you, you had us arrested.
I never had you arrested.
You beat up my colleague, David Menzies. Your bodyguards did. Your personal bodyguards beat up David Menzies.
The RCMP, the official police of Canada that you're speaking against?
Yeah.
If you're not going to trust our institutions, Ezra, there's a problem there.
I think our institutions have been weakened by you, to be quite candid.
That is your right to believe that and to feel that. And that's certainly something that you've continued to spread, people not trusting our institutions. A certain skepticism is important, but spreading of misinformation and disinformation is just... irresponsible. I think you know that, Ezra. But, you know, you've got a good little gig coming on. You paid for all these people to come to Davos. You know, I encourage you to continue to ask questions and challenge people, but to try and do it in a way that is grounded in facts and reality.
You've introduced more censorship.
Thank you very much.
A conversation is not you lecturing me. A conversation is a back and forth, not you just lecturing people. You misunderstood.
You spend your time lecturing and haranguing people and creating outrage. There's no need to...
You introduce more censorship bills than any other kind of bill. You don't believe in free speech. C-63 and all your other bills are about squelching people who you disagree with.
As well, you continue to make your points, and you're more than welcome to. So,
well, so far, but not if you get your way.
Ezra, I think you know that.
Feel like you owe the Canadians an apology for...
Have a good day, sir.
You feel like you owe the world an apology for your behavior during COVID?
Have a good day, sir.
I think he owes Canadians more than just an apology, probably prison time for what he did to them. And it's good to see Canadians wisen up a little bit and getting into the fray of all of this. Folks, they had it worse than we did here in the United States when it came to the pandemic. As many of you guys saw, the truckers were just vindicated in their most recent battle. But again, that was the man who was behind it all. You'd assume that Katy Perry, the pop singer, who was very deranged, you would assume that she'd be embarrassed to be with this man, to be walking side by side, but she's not. Maybe she's just poorly informed, but I'm sure that won't last long once you realize he's not really a man. He's a girly girl. All right, folks, we got a lot more to discuss in just a bit. Buckle up. A lot happening on the American Journal today. Like I told you, we've got two guests joining us in studio today. Aaron Reitz will be with me in just a few moments, and he's got a lot to sound off on in regard to the battle of the Islamists trying to conquer Texas. We'll also be joined in studio by Raw Egg Nationalist. Now, I've known him for a while. We've actually never met in person, so it's great to see him here in Texas and joining us in studio. He's got a brand new book out that he looks forward to talking with you all about, of course. And it has a lot to do with the MAHA movement, so buckle up. That's going to be a great one. We'll also have Sarah Gonzalez joining the show as well, because Sarah's doing the unthinkable. She's actually on the ground right now throughout the DFW area, just simply asking questions for those who are using private homes, residential homes, I should say, as businesses. And they're using those businesses to apply for dozens of H-1B visas. So she just wants to know, like, where's your business at? And you'd be surprised by the response she's getting as she knocks on those doors. She's got the exclusive on all of that, and she's breaking it to us in just a few moments as well. Plus, Whit Lyman was on the ground in Minneapolis, and he's been asking all the tough questions to a lot of the top officials there. He'll join us to break down that, plus the violence he's seen unraveling over there in Minneapolis. Whit will be joining us as well. We look forward to just that. So, folks, buckle up. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, because over at thealexjonesstore.com right now, we have a ton of discounts for some of your favorite items going on right now. The discounts vary. I mean, I've seen some of the supplements 45% off. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and check out your favorite supplements, see if they're on sale.
Is out there, and they don't want you to know it. There's still people that don't want to believe me out there. How are you going to tell me that Frog isn't totally gay?
Well, damn, I guess Alex was right. That frog was super gay.
It's the morning of March 15th. We're chasing a tip about a man who's leaving the country. Our sources tell us he just took a carry-on bag through security that was packed with $1 million cash. You can do that as long as you fill out one of these government forms. The money is usually headed to the Middle East, Dubai, and points beyond. Our sources say last year alone, more than $100 million cash left MSP in carry-on luggage.
How much money do you think has been sent around fraudulently here inside Minnesota?
Over the years, I would say anywhere from $80 to $100 billion.
The Somalian fraud is nationwide.
Columbus, Ohio has the second largest Somali population after Minneapolis. The money is in suitcases in Columbus. It flies to Minnesota. It goes to Minneapolis, then the couriers in Minneapolis pick up that money, combine it with the money in Minnesota, and take it overseas.
What's the name of the child care here?
I
ask, has this place ever been a child care? The woman says no. But obviously Washington state records tell a completely different story.
Yeah, this specific address is locked into Washington state records as a daycare.
Yeah.
They have made $210,000. Just this year.
And how many kids again is this place registered for?
Oh, that's the fun part. Three.
Three kids?
So this place are licensed for nine children.
Okay, so this place is licensed for nine.
But they have six slots available.
Right.
Which means they only have three kids and they've raked in $210,000 in tax money.
The Somali Education Resource Center, Suite 301 here at 299 East Granville Road in Dublin, Ohio. Now, the deal is that $14 million into this center here, this is a single office. And by the way, there's nothing inside it. We've already looked. It is very, very, very much dark, and it looks like there's maybe a couch inside.
The Democrats continue to play the race card, of course.
Whether you're Somalian, Italian, Indian, Irish, Jewish, I don't care. If you're stealing billions of dollars from American taxpayers, funneling it to terror networks, you do not belong here. That's not called immigration in America. That is called criminality.
What do you make of this argument of failure to assimilate and sort of ruining America? How do you understand this?
I mean, when I think about Stephen Miller and his white supremacist rhetoric, it reminds me of the way the Nazis described Jewish people.
These people are just idiots. I'm
at the point where it's become really hard to have an intellectual debate with any of these people, because the level of stupidity that they are displaying every single day is frankly embarrassing.
The idea that this is a white nation that needs to be preserved is a fascinatingly disgusting view.
He's always been a racist, a bigot, a xenophobic.
The one place where we thought we would never experience this is the U.S. goddamn states.
How is one race being targeted when that supposedly victimized race is robbing Americans from every walk of life?
I'm a licensed private investigator in California. I started looking into state records and I found ghost daycares. These are places where the state inspectors showed up. There would be 28 kids enrolled and there were no kids there in the middle of the day and in the middle of the week.
The Attorney General of Washington State has called the journalists that are investigating the fraud that's going on. Yeah, that's apparently harassment.
At Halali Safia Child Care Center in Kent, Washington, they have received $863,000 since 2023.
I don't see any signs right off the bat that it's a child care.
Washington Attorney General Nick Brown has labeled it potential harassment that could lead to hate crime reports. emphasizing that unsubstantiated accusations and door knocking disrupts providers and families.
A lot of this is generated by the president and Elon Musk tweeting out unverified reports in Minnesota, and that quickly, you know, brew a storm across the nation. What I'm concerned about is YouTubers showing up at your porch and filming children.
This coming from an attorney general that is aggressively targeting Christians. But if you have nothing to hide, what's...
G-Man! All the free-flowing methylene blue is now mine!
No way, you evil scum. Methylene blue is for everyone!
Order methylene blue at the alexjonesstore.com.
We're gonna make it, men!
Now look here. Even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at the alexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We got a lot coming your way. As you guys saw, President Trump speaking in Davos, and it was very, very interesting. He alluded to the fact that charges are coming for those who tried to steal, or who did steal, I guess I should say, the 2020 election. Take a listen, clip 18.
It's a war that should have never started, and it wouldn't have started if the 2020 U.S. presidential election weren't rigged. It was a rigged election. Everybody now knows that. They found out. People will soon be prosecuted for what they did. It's probably breaking news, but it should be. It was a rigged election. Can't have rigged elections. You need strong borders, strong elections, and ideally a good press. I always say it. Strong borders, strong elections, free, fair elections, and a fair media. The media is terrible. It's very crooked. It's very biased.
All right, as you heard there, the president saying that charges are coming, and that's what we want to hear. Don't sell me a dream, though. Let's see those charges get filed. Joining me to discuss is Aaron Wright. He is running for Texas AG in this beautiful state. He also previously was over at the DOJ as well before he stepped into this race. And so what perfect timing you have, my friend, coming onto the show right now.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. So look, I love what President Trump is saying. I'm excited about it. I'll tell you what, when I was Attorney General Ken Paxton's deputy back during the era of the stolen election in November of 2020, Paxton and I filed Texas versus Pennsylvania, bringing a constitutional challenge because we alleged that at least four states had conspired together using COVID as a pretext for their executive and judicial branches to hijack their electoral processes and then cram down unconstitutional elections that then set the conditions for the election to be stolen. We went all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. Clarence Thomas and Sam Alito would have heard that case. So we were in the trenches now, what is it, 2026, 5 years ago, trying to fight to stop the stolen election and prevent Joe Biden from illegally, unconstitutionally taking the White House in January of 2021. We were not successful back then, but I love to hear that our president is saying, look, I want to bring charges again. And there's all kinds of things that federal law enforcement can do. They can appoint a special prosecutor to start subpoenaing all of these federal officials who may have conspired to defraud the American people and the federal government. They can allege violations of various election laws. They can bring constitutional claims. I like to see that President Trump is keeping his foot on the gas on this, because we know the November 2020 election was stolen. Justice still hasn't been done, and it doesn't sit well with the American people. So I love to hear what President Trump's saying.
Yeah, and I love that he's talking about this, because there are so many people out there who are telling him to let go of the 2020 election and move on from it. But I mean, just personally, I'd say we can't move on from this because these people are going to do it again. But they were able to successfully steal. And then the worst part about it is a lot of these courts, when these challenges like you just detailed were making their way to the courts, they weren't even trying to entertain the arguments here, because a lot of them feared what might come if we start challenging these elections. Do you think President Trump should let up on any of this, like his critics tell him to do?
No, I don't think that he should let up. I think that he should double down. Mm-hmm. I love that the president, I love what he said. He said, I always want strong borders, strong elections, and a good press. And so he's secured the border. Boom. Mission accomplished. We still have tens of millions of illegals to deport. He's got he's got to wrangle the press. Obviously, there's limited control there. They're always going to have Trump derangement syndrome and try to go after him. But to secure the elections is so critical. We can't have a free and healthy constitutional republic without free and fair elections. It's fundamental. We can live with people who maybe civilly disagree with us on policy or politics, or may have preferences over different elected officials than you or I have. That's fine, right? But what we can't have is a situation where the rules of the game are rigged, the rules of play are unfair, and then after unfair elections happen, we, people like us who have concerns over that, are gaslit and told to go home and take your ball and leave and forget about it. This was the most secure election in world history. And it doesn't sit well with us. Let's get to the bottom of what happened, what laws were violated, who conspired to defraud the American people, what provisions in the U.S. Constitution were flouted. Let's figure it out. Let's open the books and let's get justice. I love to see it. I want to see more of it. And I'm very happy to see the president leaning in on this. And as the next attorney general of Texas, Texans can have total confidence that I'm going to be on the very cutting edge of election integrity, because I've been fighting for election integrity up and down the chain of the justice system for my entire career.
Yeah, and you're also backed by Ken Paxton. That's a big one. We're looking for someone who could hold Ken Paxton's seat, because he's done an incredible job at fighting back against not only the corruption, the government corruption, but also corporate greed, corporate corruption as well. And so this is a big seat that we're looking to make sure someone we could trust
100%
steps into. And the best part, too, I'll let you take it away from here, is you're not a career politician either.
Yeah.
I think there's someone out there, Chip Roy, who likes to go around.
It's pronounced soy. Chip Soy is how it's pronounced. Oh. Or Flip Roy sometimes. I think that those nicknames are a little bit mean, but that's just what everybody's calling them. I don't know.
I hear the Texans and they're whispering these nicknames, too.
Yeah, I don't know.
So you're factually true there. You know, the problem is Chip Roy gives great sound bites, but he's been a politician for many, many years now. And I love the fact that he's talking about the Islam issue, but this has been ongoing for years now, right? These 60-something mosques that have popped up all across the state of Texas, specifically the DFW area, didn't just happen overnight. There were people who were silent and compliant with all of this. I know Paxton's been on this, though, and investigating where the money's coming from and trying to dig into all of this. Yeah. But you have him now jumping on board, because we saw a Rasmussen Reports poll out that I think it was 77% of voters are deeply concerned about Islam taking over here in the United States. So now all of a sudden we're seeing politicians jump on. But you've been on this for day one. I mean, you've been speaking out about this issue. You didn't need to see a poll to understand that this is something that the American people are passionate about.
Yeah.
Why do you think others have waited till the polls come out before they speak out on these issues?
Because that's what politicians do, right? I mean, this is what I have been leading legal troops in legal combat to deliver legal victories for our Constitution and for our conservative values for years. That's not just a soundbite. That is my record. Both as a Marine officer before I was a lawyer, when I was working on the Texas Supreme Court, as Paxton's deputy, Cruz's chief, and then as a presidentially appointed Senate-confirmed head of the Office of Legal Policy at DOJ, I have been at war with the left up and down the chain of the justice system. Now, conveniently, somebody like Chip Soy, who has basically his political career has frittered out in Congress, he doesn't have any power, nobody wants him, he's never going to have a committee. The president doesn't have any use for him. Remember, as late as December of 2024, Trump was calling for Chip Roy to be removed from office, calling him a do-nothing rhino, weak, ineffective, not smart, a grandstander, egomaniac, all of these things. Not my words. Those are the president's words about Chip Roy. So naturally, what you see with a career politician, a career staffer before he was an elected official, like Chip Roy, is they lick their finger, they see where the wind is blowing, they say, oh, this is a popular issue that will poll well, and then is all of a sudden going to get the sound bites. So sure, if you want an AG who's good at sound bites, great, maybe Chip Roy is your guy. If you want an attorney general who has been vetted and trusted by President Trump, who has been endorsed by Ken Paxton to succeed him as the next AG, who has covered in the battle scars of legal combat, going to war against the Islamists and their ilk, that's me, Aaron Wrights, for Attorney General.
Well, and speaking of going to war, you've just dropped this campaign video just a few moments ago, actually, before you joined us in studio. It's clip 13, and I got to say, I love this. Take a listen.
Islam is not compatible with Western civilization. I'm Aaron Wrights, and that's just one lesson I learned as a Marine in Afghanistan. But politicians have imported millions of Muslims into our country. The result? more terrorism, more crime, and they even want their own illegal cities in Texas to impose Sharia law. Not on my watch. I'm Aaron Rice. As Attorney General, I will stop the invasion and defend our Christian values.
For Attorney General Aaron Wright.
All right, now this is a major issue here in Texas. Texans are fired up over this because they don't want this becoming a community for just Islamists. And it's turning the DFW area into just that. I mean, the 400 acres for Epic that they're trying to transform. I mean, this is deeply, deeply concerning. But you're jumping in on this fight, and you want to be in on this. I mean, you want to go after these people and get them out of Texas. Yeah. It's foreign purchase. Like, a lot of these groups, when you track down who's purchasing up this land, by the way, they don't look like they are associated with any Islamic groups. Some of them are even Chinese.
Totally.
They're purchasing up land here and trying to transform Texas into a sanctuary for Muslims.
Totally.
What do you think of that?
Well, and you've actually nailed a really important piece of their invasion of Texas. Epic City, right? That's the city. Epic is the mosque. Epic City is their Sharia town that they want to build, which they've renamed, by the way, to the Meadows, which sounds innocuous, right? So they've renamed it the Meadows to avoid scrutiny. But here's the really interesting thing, and we see this across the board with the Chinese nationals, with the foreign nationals, with the transnational criminal organizations, and the Islamists here in Texas. Epic, the mosque, created a corporate entity called something like Capital Community Partners. Capital Community Partners, if you're just looking at corporate paperwork or nonprofit paperwork or incorporation documents, you wouldn't bat an eye. There's all kinds of legitimate investment vehicles and companies that are named things similar to Capital Community Partners. But what the Muslims are doing in Texas is they're smart. These are not Stone Age, 75 IQ rock throwers like I got to hang out with in Afghanistan, okay? That's not what we're dealing with today. We're dealing with very sophisticated international actors who know how to avoid legal and political and public relations scrutiny. And so when we see them doing things like creating harmlessly sounding Capital Community Partners to create a Sharia town, we need an attorney general who's got the experience, who doesn't buy the BS, who knows exactly what they're up to and is going to smoke them out. I always say this. I want to treat the Islamists in Texas as attorney general like the feds treated the mob in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. How many mob bosses did we put away for murder? Not many, right? Because they're smart. They wiped their fingerprints off the weapon. But what the feds successfully did do is they smoked them out with process crimes, financial crimes, racketeering, RICO, trafficking, drug trafficking, tax fraud, all of these sorts of things to where you created such an oppressive legal environment that the mafia could not even exist. And now, by all accounts, they're virtually irrelevant. I'm going to do the same thing to these Islamists. Ken Paxton is already starting that process, and I'm going to carry it on so that all of these Islamists who want to turn Texas into Sharia, who view Texas as the crown jewel of conquering Western civilization, they are either going to be behind bars, prosecuted into oblivion, or they're just going to self-deport and they can go join Ilhan Omar up in Minnesota or go back overseas to their Muslim majority countries where they can live out their Sharia dreams. But it's not happening in Texas.
Well, and this is really important because we've seen this play out before. We see that when they're not the minority or the majority, I should say, that they are very friendly. And then all of a sudden when they become the majority, Christians are getting their throats cut. And so to sit here and pretend like this isn't an issue is completely insane. And again, I see that now people are jumping on board with all of this. But this isn't an issue that should have been played out for this long. I mean, we saw what was happening years ago. Amy Mech doing incredible work over at the Rare Foundation, as well as Laura Loomer and others, exposing all of this. And now they're starting to jump into all of it because it's popular. And they realize that, okay, I won't be called, I might be called a mean name, but the voters really don't care because the voters see the long-term issues with all of this. And speaking of that, there was actually a really brave woman. This comes to us from Amy Mech, who found this video. She spoke out during the Murphy City Council meeting that took place on the 20th of this month. She spoke out in clip 14. Take a listen.
I don't know if y'all have seen other cities around you grow into like mosques are growing everywhere. And I have lived for 21 years every day going by Epic Mosque. And I see the traffic. I see what it's brought. It started out as a strip mall. It went to a big Epic that Plano had given them for some of their reasons. And then it expanded not only in front. Now they had their medic center, they had their medical center, they have across the street, and that's just going to grow. Why do we need this in Murphy when we got it down the road? Why do we need an Islamic Learning Center when we already have everything halfway down on 14th Street? And then it's trying to go in all our communities. We need to wake up and realize what's going on. Islam is growing in Texas, and we need to stop it. We need to get with our representatives that don't listen and our communities and stop this all across Texas and make Texas red, white, and blue, American. We are veterans here. We have people, and we need to just keep fighting, and you need to listen, and you need to listen to Murphy residents. I did not know there was a meeting a month ago where I would have been here. Sick or not, I would have been here. But nobody knew. Half the people don't know. We need a better way to communicate with our Murphy residents. And as Murphy, you need to stand together and fight this. You do not need to let this happen. Thank you.
Thank you.
I love how fired up she is on this front. She is one brave woman calling it out and calling these officials out. And she's right. We don't need any more Islamic learning centers popping up over here in Texas.
Or Learing centers, even. No learning centers, no Learing centers.
That's probably my favorite moment of the year so far. Is
best meme of the year so far, 100%.
At least
if only it was a meme. It's not. It's reality, which is insane, right?
These are the people saying, claiming that they're teaching your children.
It's just ridiculous. Look, I am so proud to see this woman speak up. And you know, the audio, what may not be captured totally on that audio, is how enthusiastic the applause and the cheering was when this regular woman, and she's not a political activist, she's just a veteran who's standing up and has seen her community totally transform, right? There are communities in Texas. They bought their houses many years ago. They wanted peaceful, healthy, happy, safe, English-speaking, American, Texas communities, and they've seen the great replacement happen. It's not a theory. It's a reality. And it's women like who live in Murphy, which is a nice suburb in Collin County, north of Dallas County, up in the DFW area. Collin County is, it may be ground zero of the Islamic invasion in Texas, right? It's the DFW area. You've got in the Harris County area, Fort Bend. Did you know that two of the top 10 largest mosques in the United States are in Texas, and then the DFW and the Houston area? It's insane. And so what this shows, what this woman shows in Murphy, Texas, in Collin County, is there is real organic concern about seeing the transformation of their communities. You give this, if this goes unabated for a few more years, I guarantee you we're going to start hearing six times a day, or whatever it is, calls to prayer starting at 4 a.m. I can still hear the sound ringing in my ears when I was in Afghanistan. But it is absolutely coming. And when I'm Attorney General, we are not only going to stop the invasion of the Sharia law Muslims, but we are going to completely reverse it.
Yeah, and I think this is really important to do just that. Again, I would be okay with them if there were people willing to coexist with us, but that's not the case.
No, they're not. And this is the thing. And this is, I always use this phrase whenever I frame it. I say, we are dealing with hordes of foreigners who are unassimilated and unassimilable. We have gone through periods in American history where new immigrants come on board. We have a very healthy, vibrant, deep, well-understood, energetic American culture that is well-suited at assimilating new generations that come, you know, in an orderly fashion to assimilate those. And then in each wave, we stop immigration for a long time until there's total assimilation, and then we might reconsider our immigration policy. But we're not doing that anymore. American civilization lacks the vigor right now in the 21st century to even adequately assimilate these people. Do you think that our public education system right now is doing a good job at assimilating foreigners? Absolutely not. In fact, they're training native-born Americans to hate our country. And if they're training native-born Americans to hate the country, imagine what they're doing with the foreigners. They're just letting our country get balkanized. And this is particularly troublesome on the Islamic front, because the internationally funded, nationally coordinated efforts to install Sharia law in Texas has been going on for 20 years. It's about to burst. Our elected officials are finally paying attention to it, thanks to the grassroots work of many of the people that you named. But as Attorney General, I'm going to wield the vast constitutional, statutory, and regulatory powers to get rid of this nonsense. And even if my opponents, like Chip Soy, want to make big promises that they're going to do it, I'm the only one in this race that has actually done the work that can give Texans confidence that we're going to get the job done. I'm not talk, I'm action.
Yeah, and again, this is really important. I know our audience loves this, but you're not a career politician. And yeah. I know Chip likes to lean in on that, that he's got a history of running for office, but that's not something the American people want to see. I mean, we're so done with the career politicians. We want someone who's authentic going into this fight because they know what Texans want. They understand how to represent them best. And that's something that you really do reflect. And I want to jump over to Minnesota while we still have some time, because the AG over there, who just happens to be Muslim, by the way, too, Keith Ellison is out here, and he's fighting off ICE agents and trying to say that ICE is in the wrong. And it's got so many Americans fired up, because we support our federal agents going out there and going after these pedophiles, going after these rapists and murderers 100%. That were let in.
Yeah.
Let's take a listen to the latest push that Elson's trying to make after just recently being subpoenaed by the DOJ. Take a listen to clip 12.
The case of Mr. Dow, I think, is illustrative because it is caught on camera. He's a U.S. citizen. He's his ethnicity is he's Hmong from Vietnam. Of course, notoriously, that's a group that had fought on the U.S. side in Vietnam and had been granted refugee status. The vast and overwhelming majority of Hmong folks who live in Minnesota are legal. They were brought here as a kind of recompense for their stalwart allyship in that war. His son said that ICE agents stopped him while he was driving to work before they went to detain his father. He was driving a car he borrowed from his cousin's boyfriend. Court records show the boyfriend shares the first name of another Asian man who has been convicted of a sex offense. Christow said the two people are not the same. And regardless of whether it was a case of mistaken identity, is it your understanding that it's constitutionally permissible to knock down someone's door and grab them with zero probable cause or judicial warrant?
It looks like an outrage and an offense, not only against that Minnesota resident and citizen, but against our Constitution. And the sad thing is that it is a particularly heinous and ugly example of what's going on. But Chris, is happening all over our city and our state.
All right, Aaron, I'll let you take it away from there, because he's saying this is happening all over the state.
Yeah, right. Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison sucks so bad. He is one of the worst Democrat state AGs in the nation. I think it's totally appropriate that he's wearing that dark gray colored button down all the way up to the top, because it looks like a prison uniform. I hope that he's getting ready to put on a prison uniform, because he deserves to be in jail for his conspiracy against the federal government and against the lawful operations of our federal law enforcement there in Minnesota. At the end of the day, what we are experiencing, what we're observing, is that the Democrats are instigating, if not fully participating in, a full-blown insurrection. I want to see more federal law enforcement. I want to see federal troops in places like Minnesota, because they are, and it's, and by the way, this isn't us Republicans using sort of Civil War language. You might remember 2 weeks ago or so, Tim Walz making reference to the fact that it felt like it was 1861 again at the beginning of the Civil War. They are rebelling against the lawful administration of government, the lawful applications of federal law enforcement. It is totally legitimate what ICE, Border Patrol, and the federal government, Justice Department is doing. And you have people like Keith Ellison, who's sitting there on the news with his Islamic phrase and all those posters in the background on that clip that we just saw. And he is thumbing his nose at the Trump administration, and I'd like to see an aggressive crackdown. As Attorney General, I will make sure that not only we never see this kind of lawlessness in Texas, but I'll reach out and go to war against these other Democratic states that are trying to subvert law and order, subvert justice, and destroy the American Republic. It's never going to happen on my watch. And folks can trust me. Look, I want people to look me up. It's Aaron Reitz, R-E-I-T-Z. They can go to my website, aaronreitz.com, A-A-R-O-N-R-E-I-T-Z.com, and follow me on X, Aaron_Reitz, R-E-I-T-Z.
We love to hear it, folks. Aaron Reitz joining us in studio today. We'll keep having you back, my friend, because you're doing an incredible job. And, we're getting closer and closer to the early voting here in Texas, which is
February 17th starts, and then Election Day's March 3rd. It's coming right up.
Time flies by. Aaron Reitz, thank you for joining us in studio. We
Thanks
appreciate it, as
me.
Always. More next.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish CMOS was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of thermoregulation issues, morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped. with the CMOS because it's a thyroid issue, and the CMOS has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, as it has a decent flavor to it. The Optimal Human is a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
Are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alice Jones Fisher is on my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where as soon as you start taking it, you're I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
All right, when it comes to Minneapolis, we've got a good group of independent journalists on the ground who have been reporting on what's really happening there. Thankfully, you don't have to rely on Don Lemon to give you your latest report. We do have great quality reporters on the ground, and we've been speaking with them all week, but we've also speaking with Lyman over at Border Hawk. Most of the time he's over at the White House, but he was on the ground in Minneapolis doing a lot of incredible reporting, and he is joining us now. Wid, I want to thank you for being here. It's exciting to have you back on. Of course, doing great work with Border Hawk, but you've been on the ground in all of this, and I know just recently there have been several Minnesota officials handed subpoenas. Just yesterday alone, it was Tim Walz, the governor, the AG, Keith Ellison, and as well as the Minneapolis mayor, Jacob Frey. So it's been quite interesting seeing what's going on there, but it kind of sounds like they're trying to go after them for their response to federal agents being in the area. What's the latest that you've heard on that?
That is correct, and good to be with you today, Brianna. But that is the situation that we're seeing. And additionally, you have the church situation that's going on sort of in the background of some of this. And you have the entire Minneapolis fraud situation also in the back, which is continuously, you know, the reason for a lot of what we're seeing on the ground. But yeah, you're exactly correct. You have three subpoenas for those people. Attorney General Bondi is now in Minneapolis, and we're having reports of other higher officials heading to Minneapolis this week. So we're looking at a lot of pressure from the federal government on a sanctuary state and city. And we could see this as a model going forwards across the country for what they want to do with these sort of Democrat stronghold cities.
Yeah, and we're going to see this as it all plays out. You know, we were hearing all these threats that they are actually going to go after a lot of these individuals, specifically those are going to get arrested. I believe I heard this yesterday, who did enter that church. And so we hope that they make good on this commitment, because the American people want to make sure that this doesn't happen again, that Christians can go to their churches, worship on Sunday without liberal, demonic human beings walking into their churches and trying to block them from having service. So we'll keep our eye on that. But yesterday you were on the ground as well when there was a press conference going on. We're going to play clip 15 for our audience, because you did get a question in to the Border Patrol commander, Gregory Bovino, and he's actually done an incredible job at going after the left. They like to confront him in public, and he seems to flame them pretty well. But you asked him a very specific question in regards to the businesses that are trying to block federal agents from receiving services. Take a listen.
Commander Bovino, question for you. Whit Lyman with Border Hawk. It's hard to get coffee in the Twin Cities without seeing signs of ICE can't enter, but everyone else can, or restaurants or supermarkets. Based on everything you shared today, what is your message to these businesses, to these organizations that are obviously trying to push out ICE and your operation?
Sure. And this goes to anyone, not just those businesses and organizations. Don't fall victim. Don't fall victim to that heated rhetoric and those lies that are often spouted by, say, a Mayor Fry. Mayor Fry actually told his police force to fight federal agents in the city. And you should have even seen the look on O'Brien's face, Chief O'Brien. His eyebrows actually raised at that one. So don't fall victim to that. Our Border Patrol agents, our ICE officers, our parents, they're citizens. They enjoy the rule of law just like everyone else. So to deny them a cup of coffee or lawful commerce seems to be absolutely opposite of what we would expect in a lawful, orderly society. Do we like what happened with the church there a couple of days ago, when individuals came in and disrupted almost violently a church service? Absolutely not. Same thing. We should treat each other with respect, dignity. And that is why we are here in this city, as we take those violent criminals off the streets. That's respect and dignity.
All right. So this is really, really important. And folks, just a reminder, independent journalism survives only when you support it. So make sure you head on over. Give Border Hawk News a follow on X. As you just saw there, they also collect donations, and that's what makes them or helps them go out on these trips. And I'm sure Wood would greatly appreciate you guys supporting him. But I want to get to the core of all of this, because you're asking a lot of key questions. You know, you've also posted the signs that are outside the coffee shops, which tell federal agents, like, you're not welcome here. What is it like when you go out there and you confront these businesses? Because this isn't very welcoming, and I don't think it's going to have the effect that they assume it's going to have, which is going to be a welcoming in maybe more of a liberal customer base.
Yeah, you know, this is actually something that was a little startling for me, because I want to say there's hundreds of businesses in the Twin Cities that have these signs and posters out front, not dozens or scores, but there are hundreds. I mean, you can't go, you know, one in three businesses without seeing something. And most of them are mom and pop stores. You know, we've seen some instance of like a Target or, you know, another restaurant sort of barring ICE, but everywhere you go, there's giant signs. You know, the coffee shops have drinks that are, you know, derogatory about ICE. A lot of businesses are closed, or they say, you know, for instance, in the Somali community, they say knock first and then we'll let you in if you're not ICE. So they have someone sort of guarding the door of some of these restaurants, and it's jarring. It is everywhere. I mean, the amount of graffiti, every bridge, many street signs, back alleys, it's all anti-ICE. So, you know, my question is geared towards, you know, what does the Border Patrol think of seeing this everywhere they go, seeing hostility? And also, you know, what's their message to the community that some of these people do not want Border Patrol immigration officials there conducting their job? And as we've seen many times, and as you reported on, everywhere that they go, they're followed, they're doxxed, they're attacked. You know, Commander Bovino said during that press conference, he's lost track of how many agents have been assaulted. So, the constant rhetoric of negativity and the constant violence is something that Minneapolis is very unique in, and it's very large. There are plenty of very upset people there. So, it's only going to continue, I think, too, Brianna.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the case. Do you think the president should be, I guess, bringing forward the Insurrection Act at this point? I know a lot of people say that it would probably be a step too far, but it seems like based on the footage we're seeing between you, Julio Rojas, and others, and Jorge Ventura as well on the ground, that these people are getting increasingly violent rather than, toning it down. I mean, the governor now claims to be instructing them to turn the temperature down, but obviously that's not the case. Do you think that the Insurrection Act needs to be pushed forward now?
You know, when I first arrived, the violence on the scene was constant and growing. You know, you saw people in the streets. They were stopping cars. They were kicking cars like you're seeing on your screen, attacking vehicles, attacking agents. And then the local sheriff's department actually got involved, and that really quelled a lot of the violence at the federal building and sort of in the neighboring areas there. And they've also put up a bunch of new fencing, the sheriffs have. And I would say the situation cooled very quickly, almost overnight, in some of these areas. So do I think that they're ready for Insurrection Act level involvement? It didn't appear to be, but at the beginning, I was certainly leaning in that direction. Mm-hmm. Now, if we see something much worse with any kind of large arrest, if the city sort of revolts, then you could see something, you know, pretty intense from a military perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we look forward to seeing what's happening over there. And I hope, Whit, for your sake, at least, that you're going to make your way to a much warmer part of the country right now. But Whit Lyman, we appreciate all the incredible work that you all do over at Border Hawk News. Folks, if you haven't done so already, make sure you give him a follow on X at @Whit_Lyman and over at Border Hawk News as well on X, and donate if you like independent journalism, because that's how they can go out there into the field and do all the incredible reporting that they do. We appreciate it as always, Whit. Look forward to talking to you soon.
Appreciate the time. God bless.
God bless, my friend. All right, folks, we've got a lot going on all across the country, but specifically, let's just go here with this. Right now, it looks like the Oversight Committee is holding their little hearing right now on Bill and Hillary Clinton. It is their very first day of holding them potentially in contempt of Congress. Let's listen in.
Member, Mr. Garcia.
Thank you, Congressman Lynch. Mr. Comer, I just want to be just pretty clear about two things, and one particularly something that you said. Let me just start by saying that you noted in your comments that your concern and your biggest concern was the issue of the transcript. And I want to just go back really quick, because you and I share respect for subpoenas. Mm-hmm. You and I share that we want the former president to answer questions. Is that correct?
Correct.
Great. And so does every other member of this committee. We want the former president to answer questions of this committee. And we want not just the former president, but everyone to follow subpoenas of this committee. So let's agree on that. But to be clear, President Clinton, the former president, has submitted a signed declaration. He's offered to sit with you and me and answer questions. He's offered to have staff in the room to transcribe and be there while those questions are being answered. And his request was to do it in a dignified way. Your concern, as you brought up in your last comments, was that he was unwilling to do a recorded transcript. That's actually also not true. And to be clear, there's been public reporting, including in articles that came out over the weekend, that they have not ruled out a recorded transcript. I want to ask the president questions. Chairman Comer, I want to ask President Clinton questions. Don't you?
That's why we're here.
I want to ask President Clinton questions, and a recorded transcript and with our members of our staff. Would you like to do that also?
May I make a comment on the transcript? They have not agreed to a transcript. Staff notes are not equivalent.
They've actually made public reporting.
So they're wanting me to make notes. They said, okay, Comer can take notes, but they've called us all liars and, you know, how the Clintons have gone on offense and look, they don't get to make the rules. We make the rules.
Can I have the rest of my time back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ahead.
Thank you. I want to be clear because this is an email actually that, from the Clinton lawyers. You have this actually. To be clear, at no point were we opposed to the creation of a record of the interview, which is why we offered to allow the note takers previously. They go on. You have this email, sir. So I guess my question to you is, do you want to sit down and ask President Clinton questions? Actually, can I have my time back?
We'll recognize Garcia, then Mr. Donald will be next. So.
Thank you. So my question to you, Mr. Comer, again, is if we want to actually ask questions of President Clinton, of which those of us in the minority want to do, then let's get him in. Let's negotiate a recorded transcription of that interview to further our investigation. I thank you for the yield, Mr. Lynch.
Chair, time's expired. Chair recognizes Mr. Donalds.
Chairman, point of clarification, both President Clinton and Secretary Clinton were subpoenaed by this committee.
All right, so we're keeping our eye on what's happening right now in front of the Oversight Committee, as many of you guys just saw. This is day one of potentially holding both Hillary and Bill Clinton in contempt of Congress for not showing up to their subpoena. You know, Republicans have done a little bit of a dancing around. They've made it very easy for them to do just that. And then eventually they just sent over a letter, the Clintons, of course, saying, all right, we're not going to comply. Come and get us. That's what you see unraveling over in the Oversight Committee right now. But it's not just that. We've got our eye on another hearing taking place right now. And this one might actually stir up some interest. Nick Shirley is actually testifying today in front of the House Judiciary Committee, the subcommittee specifically, that is now going out there and looking into the fraud. Both Nick Shirley's there and his sidekick, who's been doing a lot of the digging into this, Mr. Dexter. Mr. Dexter is actually speaking right now. Let's take a listen.
But members on both sides of the aisle had an ability.
All right, bringing you the audio in just a second. You know, we got a lot going on over here. We're flipping around between committee hearings, and obviously there's a lot happening right now. So, you know, there's going to be a little bit of a change around, but we're going to bring it to you once we get it up and going. Let's go straight to it right now.
Investigation Division, Homeland Security, and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, we learned that millions of dollars in cash from the Somali community was being flown out of the Minneapolis-St. Paul airport by Somali couriers. At one point, nearly $70 million had been documented leaving the country halfway through a single year. Although we could not prove that the cash was obtained fraudulently, we strongly suspected that it was. We also encountered situations where federal partners were prevented from opening cases due to concerns about political sensitivities surrounding the Somali community and the refugee resettlement program. These decisions had real consequences, allowing fraud to continue unchecked. Throughout our work, we identified several loopholes that made CCAP highly vulnerable to fraud. Centers were allowed to bill for the full authorized hours, even when children were present for only minutes. Billing records could be submitted up to 30 days later, creating opportunities for manipulation. Attendance records were handwritten, unreliable, and often incomplete. And despite our recommendations, no biometric attendance systems, no electronic submission requirements, and no state-installed security cameras were ever implemented. Chair and members, the purpose of my testimony is not to cast blame on any community. It is to highlight systemic weaknesses that allowed large-scale fraud to occur and to emphasize the need for stronger safeguards, better oversight, and investigative processes that are allowed to function without political interference. Thank you for your time and your commitment to ensuring accountability within publicly funded programs, and I am prepared to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Dexter. And now we're going to recognize Mr. Hettler-Gaudette for your 5 minutes of opening statement.
Chairman Biggs, Ranking Member McBath, and members of the subcommittee, I appreciate the opportunity to testify before you today on the important issues of preventing fraud and protecting taxpayer dollars. My name is Dylan Hettler-Gaudette, and I am the Acting Vice President of Policy and Government Affairs at the Project on Government Oversight. We are a nonpartisan, independent watchdog that promotes a more accountable, transparent, and effective federal government. We view it as our mission to combat abuse of power and corruption in the federal government, which includes working on rooting out waste, fraud, and abuse. The unfortunate truth is that fraud in government programs is a fact of life.
All right, I'm going to step in on this. We'll bring it to you when Nick Shirley begins to speak, and we expect it to be momentarily. Homeboy over there is too cool, and he's got his shades on. the things you see nowadays over congressional hearings. All right, folks, I wanted to talk a little bit about the lawfare, though, right? Because there's some people who still have not been punished, and that's been our biggest level of criticism for this administration. The lack of criminal charges against all the key players who've gone out there and tried their very best to destroy this great nation. President Trump, I mean, he's every day reminding us that he's sitting back and watching, and he's unhappy at the lack of criminal charges. Yesterday in the Truth Social post, he talked about the auto pen crooks, as he usually does, and he's calling for their arrest. Now, folks, this is a big one again, because I keep telling you that I don't think he's going to aggressively go out there and go after Pam Bondi. Why? Well, because that would possibly show that there's maybe some, I don't know, influence with the White House and the DOJ. So you can't really do that. You got to kind of trickle the information out there. And it seems like that's what the president is currently doing. He's putting out these smoke signals telling AG Pam Bondi, you better listen up, lady, or else I'm going to turn on you, as he does when they don't do what they're supposed to do. But the president earlier today, we played that clip for you in Davos, saying that there's going to be criminal charges coming soon to those who stole successfully the 2020 election. But Pam Bondi last night was doing what she does best, and that usually means Fox News. And in clip six, she was actually speaking on Fox News yesterday with that very important quote, which many of you know now, is that no one is apparently above the law here in the United States. Take a listen.
Whether it's a public official, whether it's a law enforcement officer, no one is above the law in this state or in this country. And people will be held accountable. This state is a mess right now. We've seen the chaos, and it's constant. And our men and women in law enforcement deserve to be safe. And that's what we're going to do in Minnesota.
Now, that's common sense. They do deserve to be safe. But folks, I don't think we've really seen much besides investigations get launched. And that's all we really hear about. Now, again, everyone says, hold on, Brianna, don't be so black pill. Charges are coming. It just takes time. It's a process. Although the last administration somehow was able to figure it out. Oh, by the way, according to Just the News, we've learned that, what are they calling themselves? The sedition hunters? Well, apparently they were being paid by the FBI six figures, over $100,000. So the FBI had no problem coughing up your money to groups like sedition hunters to go out there and to use foreign analyst groups to run your information, run your faces, and have you arrested. But unfortunately, we don't seem to have that same desire with this new administration. And it's a bit frustrating. It's a bit frustrating. Todd Blanche also spoke yesterday, as they always do. And he said that the past 2 weeks that this administration would not tolerate those who are going out there and impeding on these investigations. In clip seven, let's take a listen to that.
Look, we said for the past 2 weeks that the federal government and this administration would not tolerate local officials doing what they were doing and have been doing, impeding federal officers and doing everything they could to encourage rioters to do what they had been doing, which is assaulting and getting in the way of federal officials. We said that we were investigating. I've seen the reports today. Laura, you know, I'm not going to comment on exactly what we're doing in this investigation, but this is exactly what we do when we investigate. We send grand jury subpoenas. We talk to witnesses to understand what's happening, and that's what you see happening right now.
Well, we'd love to see something happening. Show us a pulse. Show us a sign. Make some arrests. Give us some mug shots, why don't you? We were told that there were individuals who were indicted previously and a rogue judge decided to toss out those charges, but we never did get our Tish James mugshot. We never got our James Comey mugshot. So how do we know they were even arrested? How do we know that they were even really charged? Show us some proof. Give us a mugshot. So here at Infowars.com, we have a photo we can put up on the website. Also, folks, I want to remind you, as we segue, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. Starting today, every order placed at thealexjonesstore.com will receive a free t-shirt. It's a $40 value, and it's a special limited edition shirt that you cannot purchase anywhere else. You got to head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com, and make sure you get this t-shirt. Promise you, it's one of the t-shirts you're going to love over at thealexjonesstore.com. Also, incredible discounts on some of your favorite items. That's going on too right now. And the only way you'll find out about those savings is by heading over to thealexjonesstore.com. All right, yesterday President Trump was, and I love it, President Trump was speaking with the media yesterday in the White House press room. And by the way, I've been over there once before. I know a lot of people are like, oh, Brianna, why don't you go? It's the new administration. They haven't asked me. I did apply. But I've been there before. And I can promise you one thing. It's gross. When I was there, it's when I was working for another outlet. It smelled like mildew. It was gross. I don't know why President Trump would make his way into the room, but he did yesterday. And he did speak on several key issues that I know a lot of people are worried about or maybe looking to get some more responses to. This was the video from him yesterday speaking to the media. But most importantly, he talked about an issue that I think a lot of people are very much interested in. This issue being potential tariffs, the dividend checks, many of you guys know. The tariffs have brought in a lot of money for the United States, as you've heard. And in clip 8, he details specifically what his plans are in regards to getting that money straight to you. Take a listen.
The reason we're even talking about it is that we have so much money coming in from tariffs that we'll be able to issue at least a $2,000 dividend and also pay down debt for the country. But we'd do a $2,000 dividend to the people of our country. We'd probably set a limit of, you know, income limit where it made sense. But we will be able to make a very substantial dividend to the people of our country.
We don't need it. How about we just pay down our debt? That'd be nice. That'd be nice. Folks, it looks like Nick Shirley is now speaking at that hearing I told you about in Congress. Let's take a listen.
So, Mr. Shirley, you're recognized for your opening statement.
Awesome. I'm here today to speak on behalf of all hardworking, law-abiding, tax-paying citizens here inside of the United States. I've helped bring to light widespread fraud that's happening inside our nation, and we the people have had enough of our hard-earned money going towards fraudsters as if it's no big deal. As I speak here, I want to ask everyone a question. How much do we trust when we pay our taxes it's going to benefit our nation? People erupted during the Boston Tea Party over just a few percentages as they believe they are being taxed without representation. Nowadays, we have the representation, but do we trust our representatives? My name is Nick Shirley, and I made a 41-minute video that I posted on platforms like X and YouTube. My video received over 100 million views, and it created instant change within our government. As the federal government launched investigations in departments such as Health and Human Services, froze over $185 million in childcare funding until businesses can prove they are legitimate businesses. I actually became aware of the fraud that was happening in Minnesota in June of 2025 as I was there for a separate video, and Minnesotans started reaching out to me asking me if I was making a video on the fraud. I said, well, what fraud? And this lady, she was a real estate agent, and she says, well, I'm having a hard time selling my properties because people are curious about these assisted livings.
All right, we're going to hit the pause button because we're up against a hard commercial break, but we're going to go straight back to Nick Shirley speaking in front of the House committee right now. Don't go anywhere. More to discuss in just a bit as they investigate the fraud taking place in Minnesota. We've got a lot more happening in the third hour of the show, so don't go anywhere.
Can feel the power of Methylene Blue. Don't let the evil power win. Order now on thealexjonesstore.com.
The truth is out there, and they don't want you to know it. There's still people that don't want to believe me out there. How are you going to tell me that Frog isn't totally gay?
Well, damn, I guess Alex was right. That frog was super gay.
A creeping mass with an eerie tone smiles on the surface with intentions unknown. Step past the light where truth's overthrown. Welcome, my friend, to the Info Zone.
an oozing mass of liars and snakes bought and paid for. Truth bends and breaks. It inches in close, steals freedoms away, drowns you in chemicals to make you obey.
I woke up this morning, felt the fire turn. Mind clear, feel the power burn. Found the truth in a place that delivers the force. Real strength, real fuel from the source. Methylene blue, light my mind. Ultimate power, feeling strong and prime. Seymour's gummies, open the door. Get your strength back at Alex Jones' store.
Happened in Minnesota in June of 2025 as I was there for a separate video, and Minnesotans started reaching out to me asking me if I was making a video on the fraud. I said, well, what fraud? And this lady, she was a real estate agent, and she says, well, I'm having a hard time selling my properties because people are curious about these assisted livings that are popping up next door to some of the houses that we're buying, or the home health care clinics that are popping up, and we don't know who's next to these houses that we're trying to sell. And I said, well, I'm not going to come and make a video if I don't have any proof. So therefore, I left Minnesota, and I continued to look for fraud as in the best way I could. And as I was getting my own information, a man by the name of David reached out to me, and he said, hey, I have been investigating this fraud for years now. I have been driving by these child care centers. I have never seen a single child, and I have received the information from the state of Minnesota as to how much money these places are receiving. I said, great. Let me come to Minnesota and we'll make this video about potential fraud that was taking place inside of Minnesota. We go to a daycare and I'm instantly surprised by what we see. We arrived and it was an industrialized building and there was two daycares registered at that daycare, at that building. And the first thing I notice is all the windows are blacked out and there's no footprints in the snow of any children. There's no playgrounds or anything that would make it look like it's a child care. But above me, a sign read, open 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. But there was nobody there. The doorbell did not even work. And then we continued to go to other daycares, and we noticed the same pattern. No children, blacked out windows. And one daycare, a learning center, spelled Quality Learning Center instead of Quality Learning Center. They had received $1.9 million. Yet with that $1.9 million, they could not even spell Leering right on their sign. Governor Waltz has said he's been fighting fraud in Minnesota since 2019 and said the buck stops with him. However, how long would it take for you to notice $1 million being leaving your bank account and not knowing where it's going? That's essentially what had been happening in Minnesota for years as billions of dollars has been misplaced. And meanwhile, while people like Governor Tim Walz call people like me a white supremacist, delusional conspiracy theorist, he actually decided to drop out of re-election because, I believe, of how deep and extensive this fraud is. Thank you very much. Since my reporting, the HHS department froze over $185 million, and to this day, not a single business has been able to prove proof of legitimacy. How fast would you be proving that you are a legitimate business if you have children to actually feed and to take care of? You'd be sending in that paperwork instantly. I made this video to document the widespread fraud that has been taking place, as I truly believe all fraud is bad. And people like me, my generation, we're sick of seeing tax dollars go towards fraud. We just want to have the same opportunities that our fathers and our grandparents had. And when you see people making millions of dollars by committing fraud, it upsets everybody from all age demographics. And so I hope today we can have a good conversation. And I think we can all agree that fraud is bad and that fraud is fraud. And I wish the best for our country. And I think that's what needs to be happening, is to crack down on all forms of fraud. So thank you for having me, and God bless the USA.
Thank you, Mr. Shirley. And now I recognize Ms. Larson for your five-minute opening statement.
Chairman, ranking member, and members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to speak today on this issue.
All right, I'm going to step in on this because a lot happening there on the Hill today. We're following all the congressional hearings, as you see. We're also following what's unraveling over in Davos. So a lot to discuss there. But there's actually a report that you haven't seen yet, and it has to do with potential fraud in, well, Texas, the DFW area, in regard to H-1B visas. A lot of them are being dished out by the thousands in DFW. And, well, there's one brave journalist doing some door knocking, asking some simple questions that apparently nobody wants to answer. Sarah Gonzalez joins us in just a few moments. So don't go anywhere. We've got it here for you first, and you're not going to see it anywhere else except, of course, over on her X page in just a few moments. So, folks, buckle up. We got more to discuss.
Now look here, even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to my home. We have all kinds of supplements. Sometimes we have BOGO Sups. We're always coming out with new products, and this is one of my favorites. You can shop for all of our supplements and apparel right here on the phone app.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. As we continue to cover everything going on both in Davos, the World Economic Forum, President Trump telling WEF attendees that the European leaders call him daddy. That was the quote of the day for me. Had us really cracking up over here. But we're going to continue to follow the president as he makes his way throughout Davos. He's got a lot of meetings on his plate right now, and so we're watching that. But we're also watching what's happening over on the Hill right now. There are several congressional committee hearings going on. And they also, as we told you before, are kicking off their potential charges that could brew for Bill and Hillary Clinton, the contempt charges, which we're hoping may come, but you never know. Well, we know, but we never know. We'll keep our eye on that, though. I want to jump over to something else, though. The Islamic takeover in Texas, as we just spoke with Aaron Wrights about. It's a very serious issue. And as Rasmussen reports, has polled about 77% of voters truly do think that the Islamic takeover here in the United States is a top issue for them. So you got to keep your eye on everything. And Amy Mack over at the Rare Foundation is doing just that. She exposed something that was very big that we broke for you too on this show in regards to Grapevine, their public schools. We're going to be welcoming a bunch of, let's just say, Islamists to do the 2016 Islamic Games at their high school. Well, after public pressure, and of course, the great work of exposing this, Amy Mack got them to cancel, and they have since canceled. Now, again, this was being run by CARE, which here in the state of Texas is actually considered to be a terrorism organization. And it's very, very concerning that they continue to sit there and try to, infiltrate our public schools. Joining me to discuss is Sarah Gonzalez. She's one of the incredible hosts over at The Blaze. And she's been doing some incredible work that we're going to highlight for you in just a bit. But Sarah, you know, I've been texting back and forth with you about this one because this is a big report. They have since canceled these games that they were going to be holding. It was a CARE-linked, is the specific words that were used here, event that was going to be taking place over at one of the public schools there. What's your reaction to this? This is big news that they canceled it.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for having me, Brianna. It's always a pleasure to be with you. I think that if this shows anything to the American people and to the people of Texas, it's that public pressure works. When you are awake, when you are not asleep at the wheel, when you are actively reaching out to your local community, to your representatives and saying, we don't want this in our schools. We don't want this in our communities. We don't want this in our local government, whatever the case may be, because as we know, Brianna, they are trying to infiltrate at every single possible level. And so when the public reaches out in, you know, all of the masses that they have reached out and said, we cannot allow this Do not do this. It works. If there's anything to be learned from this, it is that it works, because the other side has been doing it for ages. It's how they have been able to infiltrate in the way that they have. It is why we are now battling in the state of Texas, Epic City, an all-inclusive Muslim compound. How does that happen? It doesn't happen overnight. It happens because all of the other side has been awake for a very long time. Awake and woke, I would say, but they have known for a very long time. All you have to do is put this pressure on these local leaders. All you have to do is try to tell them that it's Islamophobic, that it's racist, that it's xenophobic, to not allow them to take a stronghold of our communities. And when we do the same things that they do, when we show up in mass, when we demand accountability for all of this, good things happen. So I want the public to be encouraged by the Islamic Games being canceled. I want them to be very, very encouraged and not lose their voice on this issue.
Yeah. And Sarah, I think this is important too, because, you know, I went to the hearing that was taking place. This is a couple of months back regarding Epic, and it was so widely supported. The opposition was widely supported by the community itself that, in fact, we ran out of seating inside of the hearing room, and they had to create an overflow room, and that overflow room was actually overflowing still. There were too many people to really be held in this room. And that's really important, because Texans don't want any part in any of this. They've started to realize what's going on here. Sadly, our politicians were trying to play it safe, and they didn't really want to take on this issue. But now everyone's jumping on board. But this is a big one. And, you know, you've recently exclusively obtained an email that I want to show to our audience. And this email, it's an email apparently being sent from Dallas, our school district in Dallas. And ultimately, it's in multiple different translations. I mean, even Arabic is one of the translations that you're seeing here on your screen. Sarah, where did you get this email specifically from? What school district is it? And then what's going on in this email?
Yeah, so this was the Shady Brook school in Hearst Euless, Bedford is the exact location where this school is. And I mean, the sad part, as you point out, it's Arabic, it's Urdu, it's Farsi. It's also Spanish, by the way, while we're throwing out all of these issues, also Spanish. And it's just, we're doing this at the same time. These school districts are catering to all of these other languages at the same time that they are, of course, you know, hearing President Trump say that the official language of this country is English. And on top of this, Brianna, I just want to highlight how pervasive this issue is. Not only are these emails going out to all of these families of the schools in all of these different languages, but you have to imagine that this is, of course, also happening in the schools where they are having to hire teachers to teach all of these children who are coming here not knowing English, English. So that means our taxpayer dollars are being used even more to fund the teaching of all of this, the catering to all of these foreigners who shouldn't be here in the first place. It's a really, really pervasive issue. And how do you expect that any American-born child is going to feel comfortable in their communities when they have all of these children who are joining their schools who can't even speak the language, all of these families who are coming in who can't even speak the language? I mean, you got to imagine, Brianna, that like a basketball game, a high school basketball game is a little awkward when you can't even turn around and speak to the person sitting next to you, the family sitting next to you, because no one can speak the language. I mean, it is a really, really pervasive issue. I got this email from actually someone who works over at the Blaze with me who received it. Their child, unfortunately, goes to the school, and he received it. And he's like, I don't know what to do with this. I mean, how do we join the school community? How do we feel comfortable in our own community when this is what we're dealing with here? English is seemingly a second thought here in the state of Texas at these public schools.
Well, and Sarah, this is why it's so important for people to jump on this, because we saw what was happening in Minnesota. Even one of their Muslim leaders over there calling what's happened in certain Minneapolis and the surrounding areas, how they've conquered certain parts of the cities. And they use the specific word conquered because that's how they view it. And sadly, so many Americans don't realize that what's going on here. They view this as conquering the West and slowly purchasing up lands. And they've ramped it up because they've, you know, they apparently have a really good foreign investor who's been able to help them with all of this. But they've ramped it up in Texas. And like Aaron Wrights told our audience, you know, two of the biggest mosques in the country are here in Texas. And I don't think people realize it, but it's not just Texas. It's Oklahoma as well, Oklahoma City specifically. Florida has a big issue with this in the Tampa area that's exploding right now. They're flocking to these Republican states, and they are building here. Why is it that so many leaders, so many conservatives were so fearful of talking about this issue, even though it's widely popular amongst the American population?
Yeah, it's a great question, Brianna, especially here in the state of Texas. We should be leading on this issue. There's absolutely no reason why Texas should not be leading on this issue. Unfortunately, the problem here in Texas is that we have a rhino problem when it comes down to it. We have a Speaker of the House. The prior Speaker of the House was elected by a Democrat majority. And so what that means is that you have a Speaker who is weak on conservative issues. You have a Speaker who is weak on the issues that his constituency wants him to lead on. And this is the direct result of that. I mean, you have here in the state of Texas, and again, if it's happening in the state of Texas, it's happening everywhere. I would like to make that clear. So viewers who might think, oh, it's just happening in Texas, I don't have to listen. Actually, this just shows how bad and pervasive the problem is that I'm having to explain how bad it is here in the state of Texas. But here we have, we have a Republican majority for whatever that means, but we still are inviting resolutions honoring Pakistan with Pakistan Day, honoring Bangladeshis with Bangladesh Day. And I just have to tell you, when you go and look at these actual countries and the values that they represent and the morals that they have, the fact that they still have acid attacks in Pakistan and Bangladesh, the fact that women are treated horribly in all of these places, the fact that they still are talking about honor killings that happen in these particular areas because of course Islamic religion is their state religion. It is the official religion, and they have aspects of Sharia law in these places. So when you really get down to it and you start going, hold on a second, there's absolutely no reason that the state of Texas, that the representatives in the state of Texas should be allowing this to continue, should be allowing this to happen at the Texas state capitol. And yet it is still happening because we have weak Republicans who are too scared of being called a mean name rather than standing up for all of their, you know, not just their constituency, but American citizens nationwide. And that is how you get the Pakistan days and the Bangladeshi days and the, you know, Muslim day at the Capitol and all of these. Americans are standing idly by while these people take over. And they have been, as you point out, Brianna, they have been very vocal about their plan. It is their master plan. Their master plan is to conquer the West and dismantle the West and enact Sharia law. It's what they've done. It's what their MO has always been. They've spelled it out for us very clearly. Ignore it at your own peril, I would say to all of America. Ignore this at your own peril. They have been very clear about what they would like to do. They're doing it slowly. They're doing it incrementally. They're doing it baby steps has always been the way. As you point out, they're purchasing up all of the land very quietly. And every once in a while, you get one of them who will say all of the quiet parts out loud. Ignore it at your own peril.
Yeah, and that's exactly what needs to happen. You know, Sarah, you've been on the ground knocking on doors, trying to uncover alleged fraud, maybe fraud happening. We don't know 100%, but you're just trying to do some investigative work. You're trying to knock on doors and ask residential homeowners about businesses that are claiming they have H-1B visa employees working from their homes. And it's quite strange, especially based on the footage you've now posted up on your X page, which is Sarah Gonzalez TX, folks, if you want to look at this yourself. But we've got a little clip for you as well. And you're showing up to these residential homes and just simply asking them questions about their companies. And it's really surprising because there's no cars in the driveway. There's no cars in the street, which you'd expect from potentially someone claiming that their home is where they do business and there's a dozen people working for them on these H-1Bs. But they're also getting really aggressive with you. Let's take a listen to clip 16.
All right, we're heading over to a company called 3Bs Technologies. Now, there were actually 27 H-1B visas approved in 2022 through 2025 for this particular company. The jobs include a software developer, software engineer, IT project manager. So I'm thinking like very high-tech hub for 3Bs Technologies. Let's see what we find out. Are we sure? Do we have the right? We have the right address here? This is 27 H-1B visas for this location, and it's a residential home. Okay, 130 Darbon Lane, Irving, Texas, 75039. This is the address that's on here, so would have 27 H-1Bs. Let's see. All right. Okay, the doorbell. Doorbell's broken. Not even a... Looks like they boarded up the window. Hello? I'm looking for 3Bs. Hello? So, very strange. 3Bs Technologies. Is that a house? as it turns out, and the Ring doorbell's broken, so I can't even press it. I'm not, they're probably watching me right now because they've got security cameras all over the place. No one at the door. No sign of life for the 27 H-1B workers at 3B's Technologies. Ma'am, just really quick. I'm not selling anything. I literally just have a question for you. I was just asking if you knew, if you had ever met the person who lives here.
I haven't, and I've
seen staff, but please. Well, I'm trying, hey, listen, hold on, please. I mean you no harm. I'm not trying to sell anything. I'm literally just trying to expose fraud.
I understand.
Can you tell me what you've seen?
I'm on work calls, but I can't deal with it.
Can you just tell me what you've seen?
I'm on work calls, but I can't deal with it right now.
Okay, is there a better time to come back and speak with you?
Not really, because I haven't seen anything.
Well, you've seen some shady stuff go down then. Well, I mean, what are we talking here? I'll blur your face. I will blur everything. We're just trying to get to the bottom of it. Please, can we just come back? Okay, so this neighbor is obviously terrified to tell me what's going on. She just said multiple different times that she's seen some shady stuff go down, and she has a family, and she doesn't want to be involved. So whatever is happening here at 130 Darbon Lane for 3B's Technologies really stinks.
So again, Sarah, you're not alleging that there's fraud. Well, you're alleging that there's fraud. You haven't proven any of the fraud, though. So I just want to make that clear. We could give them that level of leniency in all of this because we just have questions to ask. And unfortunately, you know, you're knocking on these doors and people don't want to answer those questions. And based on the neighbor's response, I think it's very telling. They don't want involvement in it because they know exactly what's going on over there. And they know that it's probably likely criminal. I mean, that's what it sounds like, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I appreciate you making clear. I ask at the end of the video, I display everything that we have uncovered. I show how we've got shell company after shell company that leads us to nowhere, to buildings that are in construction. There are no companies that are officing out of them. I put forth one other gentleman who, if they go to my X page, they can watch the full video, of course, but another gentleman who I come to the door, I literally ask him about his company, and he immediately tells me he's calling the cops. He calls the cops and tells them that I'm threatening him. Now, is that the behavior of someone who is abiding the laws? Is that the behavior of someone who is totally innocent and, you know, isn't defensive of knowing that he's done something illegal and is about to get caught? It just stunk, right? It just did not smell right. It didn't pass the smell test for me. So I can't, of course, determine that there is fraud going on with this specific cases. But what I can tell you is we've provided all of the information, and we have shown how easy it is for just a regular person to go onto these portals that the government has and to go double check the work of all of these H-1B visa holders, to go see where their actual location is supposed to be. And for us to determine, hold on, who in the government is double checking this? Because if it's that easy for me to go on the system and go check this stuff out and say, wait, you're telling me 27 people office out of this small home and there's no one there? Wait, you're telling me that you have 13 workers in a 9x9 room with a card table set up? It doesn't pass the smell test for me. And so while I can't definitively say that these specific cases that I exposed, I can't definitively say with 100% proof that there is fraud going on. But what I can say is that there is a major scam that the government needs to be willing to look at and root out. And we need USCIS to go out to all of these places with all of these visa holders, and they need to be investigating this, and they need to hold these people accountable, because the way that the laws are set up, the way that these visas are set up, it is just ripe with fraud and corruption. And we cannot have that on our watch. We need to be exposing this. So this is one part of a series. We're going to have many more to come. Because it is just, it's so rampant, it's so corrupt, and it's so in your face about it. The fact that I had a man who I believe to be engaging in fraud call a taxpayer-funded service of 911 to tell on me for, you know, exposing said fraud, the audacity of these people, they think that they can just get away with this and keep it up. So I would encourage everyone to, you know, not only watch it, but What can we all be investigating? What can we all be exposing? I want these people to be so uncomfortable here in my country that they leave. That's what I would like to happen.
Yeah. And Sarah, you've lived in this area for many, many years now, and you've seen the transformation. These H-1B visas are being dished out specifically in the DFW area. And, you know, I visited a bunch of times and I've now moved there. And I can tell you that's been a drastic turn from when I would visit 10 years ago. I mean, it's very obvious what's happening here. And that is that the DFW area is getting an abundance of H-1B visa holders to live there. And they're getting an abundance of these Muslim migrants who have moved in to their communities and are now looking to take over. What have been the most alarming signs that you've seen in all of this? Because again, you've been here, you're a lifelong Texan, and you're seeing this all take place right in front of your very eyes.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, what's happening is that this program is just being completely obliterated with, you know, the idea behind it. Of course, the idea is I think well-intentioned, maybe, that, oh, well, if we have someone who has a very, very special, unique skill set that we can't find here in America, we can bring that person over and they can contribute to America and the American economy with their very, very specialized skill set. Unfortunately, Brianna, what's happening is that, you know, a couple people come over, they want to bring their friends, they want to bring their family. And so what's happening is that even at, say, Texas A&M, there is a job posting, an H-1B visa job posting for an athletic trainer. Here in the DFW area, Dallas Independent School District, there are numerous job posting. I mean, I'm talking 30 pages of job posting after job posting for H-1B visas for things like middle school math teacher, for things like bilingual elementary school teacher. They have noticed that when they bring people over on an H-1B visa, say that it's a tech company and they bring someone over, a software engineer for a tech company. Well, what happens is that person brings their family. Well, their children can't speak English. So now they get to bring more of their own people over here into this country on an H-1B to teach their children English. It's total scam. It's all fraud. Here you see this Texas A&M University athletic trainer. You're telling me we have to farm out an athletic trainer for our country? You can't find any American to take the silly job. I mean, athletic trainer is no joke, but like, you're telling me we have a specialized skill set that we can't find in the state of Texas or in this country for athletic trainer? Obviously, that's not the case, but we have these tech firms popping up here in the state. And unfortunately, that has brought a lot of these people into our state, and they've brought with them all of this fraud and corruption and seemingly endless cycle of just finding reasons to bring their friends over. And that's how we've seen our communities transform. And I would say, Brianna, not for the better.
Yeah, not for the better. And we're watching it as it all takes place. I mean, I'm walking down the street and they won't even, like, you know, like the courteous thing to do is either to step out of the way when someone's walking and to just get to one side of the street so you're not taking over the hook. They don't even do that. We're talking about people who have very little respect. They don't know how to drive. These are not the kind of people that you want in your country. And they're not friendly. When they move into your neighborhoods, they're not saying hello. Yeah, Sarah, let me take it away.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I just wanted to add to that because that's such a great point to mention. It's not, I'm not scared of being called a xenophobe or anything like that. No. What I can tell you is that when I'm walking on my sidewalk in my neighborhood, which you've been here, Brianna, okay? Yeah. It's not a terrible neighborhood. They're coming into these middle class areas and they're bringing in like three generations in one home. And I'm walking down my sidewalk in my neighborhood as a native Texan, as an American, and I have to make sure to not cede my ground because there is a Muslim man walking towards me in a turban who refuses to, only at the last minute does he actually not take up the entire sidewalk when he realizes that I'm not going to give up my half of the sidewalk that I'm just trying to walk on. These people are obnoxious. They're bringing in all of their third world values. They're not assimilating. They don't want to be your friend. They don't want to learn your language. They don't want to help, you know, shape our communities for the better. They're coming in here to take American resources. And it's high time that we stop letting it happen.
Yeah, it's time that we stop letting it happen. Sarah Gonzalez, you're doing a great work. I want to remind our audience to head on over to your Twitter page right now. That's where you've put up this full investigation that you've done thus far. Again, you're going to put up more information as this all goes down. But head on over. Sarah Gonzalez TX is where you can find it right now over on her X page. Sarah, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. So thank you.
Thank you, my friend. See you soon.
See you soon. All right, folks, buckle up. Raw Egg Nationalist joining me in studio for the very first time, I think, here at InfoWars. I could be lying to you, though. He'll be joining me in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. More to discuss.
something feels wrong. There is a disturbance in the force. Someone is awake past their curfew. I sense unauthorized viewing. If they are watching what I think they're watching, there will be hell to pay. You are watching Alex Jones on the Death Star?
Lord Vader! It's not what it looks like.
Do is here. I must find him before it's too late!
Did you hear something?
This place holds many secrets, and I am here to uncover them.
No way, I'm not getting involved with that. I feel the power surging through me. The Force is stronger than ever. Yes, Rob, yes. This is the ultimate power.
They've sold out to it. They're blind to their cowards. You don't want to be part of them. Like Patrick Henry says, forget you are our brethren. Go from us in peace. Crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you. Let your chains sit lightly upon you. As for me, give me liberty or give me death.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order. A new
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Third hour, final lap around. We've got a big segment coming your way, and it's a good one, of course, because, well, it's someone we don't speak to in person quite often. He is here in studio. Before we get to that, though, I wanted to let our audience know that the Supreme Court has agreed to take on a major case, which for you MAHA lovers out there, this is going to be a good one. This is the glyphosate case in regards to how Roundup, obviously, has used that and how it's literally killing us. I mean, it's killing us. It's in our food. It's in our everything. Joining me now to discuss in studio, Raw Egg Nationalist, which we're very excited for because you have a new book out. We'll get to that in a minute. But welcome. Welcome to Texas.
It's great to be with you. Well, really great to be with you.
Well, we're honored to have you here, as always. I know you're going to be doing the tour, the InfoWars tour throughout the day, so I know our audience will be very excited about that. But, you know, I saw you posting about this, the Supreme Court, and you put it up right now on the InfoWars.com website as well. The Supreme Court has agreed to take up this case. Tell us a little bit about that. Because for our audience at home, by the way, that doesn't know, because I didn't do the intro, but you do some incredible work over at InfoWars.com for us as well.
Yeah, so I'm a weekend reporter for InfoWars. Yeah. I'm reporting on the news. But no, this is an interesting story. So this is about glyphosate. So glyphosate is the active ingredient in Roundup, which is the most used, I think it's the most used pesticide in the US. So it's sprayed by the millions and millions of gallons every year on lawns and crops, and grasses and pretty much everywhere. And there's been a slew of, civil cases against Bayer. It used to be Monsanto, but Monsanto was bought by Bayer, basically regarding the kind of harms that have been caused by by glyphosate. So glyphosate is associated with particular kinds of cancers, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, for example, other forms of cancer, I think thyroid cancers. It's basically associated actually with pretty much every chronic disease you could imagine. I mean, there are reams and reams of scientific studies about glyphosate. Now, Bayer's been hit with a huge number of lawsuits. I mean, it's paid out, I think, something like $10 billion already to settle lawsuits. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to get immunity from further prosecutions. Mm. So they settled a previous slew of lawsuits, and now they're trying to get immunity, and the Supreme Court is going to rule on whether or not they can. So the question is really whether Bayer is going to be immune from you know, these prosecutions, and it would be a good thing if they aren't. And you know, I mean, part of the Maha agenda really is making sure that actually the makers of these harmful pesticides, herbicides, toxic chemicals are held accountable for the harms that they cause. And so, fingers crossed, the Supreme Court will rule that actually no, Bayer has to be held liable for these harms that have been caused.
Yeah, and here in the States, we're actually very aware of this, because I know that there was a movement to try to get this into one of our federal legislation. They were trying to shove this in, and thank God for the Maha movement, who spoke out openly about that and was aggressive at getting that pulled from a recent bill that was supposed to be brought forward. So, I mean, that's the good news here. I know that they're trying their very best with their lobbyists to get this immunity, but thankfully, that doesn't seem to be the case. I also want to ask you about this one. This is a personal thing. I want to play clip 17 for our audience, because it has a lot to do with toxic dog food, and I am the nut job that is constantly making food for my dogs from scratch, from real food, real meat, real vegetables, organic, of course, and I'm very passionate about this, so let's take a listen.
Schlop, absolute schlop. If you own a pet, stop giving it that dry kibble garbage. Imagine if you had to eat that. Dogs can just eat raw meat, they'll be way, way happier, way, way healthier. Cereal, byproducts, vegetable proteins, minerals, vitamins, amino acids, allegedly, and then there's a laundry list of all the synthetic vitamins and stuff. There's worse than this one, but it's like if you were eating dry seed oil grains for your dog, would you be healthy if you ate that? I tweeted the other day that I would give spring water to my dog. That makes sense. Like, give it the same water. I'm not just going to give tap water. People are like, what? You don't just give tap water to your dog? No, I don't want my dog to have its third eye calcified and lose its balls or whatever. But people do cut off the balls of the dog. So, you know, I just like to extend thinking about health and stuff to our family members. That's how I think about dogs.
Yeah, I mean, this is how I am, and my friends all think I'm a nut job. I will literally steam salmon for my dogs from scratch, but it's transformed. I mean, my little one, Giuseppe, he had a very rough fur condition. He's a rescue, and so feeding him real food actually fixed his health personally, and so I'm an advocate for this, but I know this is something that you're also passionate about. I saw this on your X page as well, so I'll let you sound off on that one.
Yeah, well, I mean, the funny thing is actually there isn't much difference between dog kibble and processed foods. Mm-hmm. This isn't an original point being made by me. This is actually made by Catherine Shanahan in the book Deep Nutrition, where she says, look, the same key components go into processed food and dog foods. It's things like corn, soy protein, seed and vegetable oils, and then, you know, all of these kind of industrial ingredients, emulsifiers, texturizers, flavorings, etc. So what my friend Solbra in that clip is saying is actually as true of kibble as it is of the processed food that, you know, Americans consume to satisfy the majority of their daily calories. I mean, we're not just talking about dog food. But yes, I did a post in response to Solbra's video where I said, look, the lifespan of many dog breeds, things like golden retrievers, labradors, has halved in the last, I think, 50 years, maybe even less than 50 years, maybe the last generation. And that's largely because they are consuming kibble. Now, kibble is the standard thing that you give to a dog. And as well as being, you know, full of these cheap ingredients, it's also heavily, heavily contaminated with things like mycotoxins, which are mold toxins. So that's what I talk about in the post. I talk about aflatoxin, for example, which you find in corn. And it's the world's most powerful natural carcinogen, aflatoxin. And it's on corn, especially Mexican corn. And, dogs get cancer. And the reason they probably get cancer actually is because they're consuming this cheap kibble.
Yeah.
But it's the same for humans as well. So, you know, I mean, it's not silly to insist on feeding a dog a high quality, you know, raw meat diet. I mean, I feed my cat a raw meat diet. The butchers find that very, very funny. In the, you know, in the town where I live, they call my cat the princess when I go in there to buy heart and liver and kidney and ground beef and chicken. But actually, you know, it's not any more expensive than feeding a supermarket bought diet, and the cat's in amazing health. She's 18 years old.
Yeah, well, Giuseppe's he's 14 years old, and he's still amazing. Bouncing around the dog park. Yeah. The guys here, they look like they're hostage. They're being held hostage in this photo here. But that's Gia and Giuseppe. Both look like they're dying on the inside because I'm making them take a photo. But, you know, they live a very good life. Giuseppe wasn't so well fed before, was missing fur, and now he's thriving. So, yeah, I say it has a lot to do with the food we feed our dogs, and I'm glad to hear you do this to your cat as well. Before we pivot, though, I also want to ask you about eggs, because I actually reached out to Vital Farms because I will pay $11.99 for a dozen of their eggs just because I was told this is great for you, this is a good product. But I did see some rumors on social media about them feeding their chickens. I believe it was soy products, corn products. I reached out to them. They did say yes, but there was a study that you highlighted. And I think it's quite interesting, of an individual who went out and got a bunch of eggs at Whole Foods. And it looks like Vital Farms still ranks at the top of the list when it comes to the best in the nation for being soy-free, is how they angled that, and low omega-6 eggs. What is it about the Vital Farm eggs that you think is so great for Americans?
Well, I think the basic principle, one of the basic principles that I emphasize when I talk about nutrition, is you are what you eat eats, right?
Yeah.
So if you're eating chicken that's fed low quality ingredients, if you're eating eggs from chickens that are fed low quality ingredients, GMO corn, GMO soy, then the product is going to resemble what the chicken's been fed. You know, you're gonna get the seed and vegetable oils in the eggs, for example, and it's gonna alter the composition of the fats. So what you really want is you want to buy eggs from producers that raise their chickens on pasture. So, you know, chickens should be eating insects. They should be feeding on grasses and leaves. You know, they should be foraging around in the dirt, finding foods naturally. But the majority of producers actually just, you know, stuff chickens full of corn and soy. So Vital Farms eggs are supposed to be pasture raised. And so that means, yes, the chickens live on pasture. They're outside. They're foraging for their own feed. Their feed might be supplemented, but it's not going to be supplemented with GMO corn or GMO soy. Now, I do think that Vital Farms, they were taken over in 2020, I think, by a big conglomerate. So it was a small business that got big and was then, you know, bought out by an even larger conglomerate, which is often the case with foods. And I think something has changed since then. I think something's changed. So the product may not be quite as good as it used to be, but you just have to look at the labels. That's what you have to do. You have to be really careful, really discerning with the foods that you buy. You know, if you're going to buy eggs, look beyond the label, do some research. If you really want the benefits of pasture raised eggs, then, do some research. Ideally, you'd go to a local farm shop where you can see the chickens.
Yeah.
You can see that they're being raised properly. You can see they're pastured. You can talk to the farmer yourself, but that's not necessarily practical for every single American. So generally do research, but ideally what you want is pasture raised eggs.
Yeah. And that's what we always aim for. They're so expensive these days. It's kind of crazy, but I mean, even when I was living in Florida, I was always making the trips out to my local farm to grab up a couple of carts of those. So they call them flats, actually, when you go straight to the farm. So that's what I was doing over there. I want to switch gears up a little bit because you're obviously just launched your book.
I have.
The Last Men, Liberalism and the Death of Masculinity has just dropped right now. It's available on Amazon right now. Now, this one's interesting, and I know we've spoken briefly about this, but to have you in studio is great.
Yeah.
Because we want to talk a little bit about the decline of the Western man. I know this is something that's big and that you've been on the ball about, and this is why you have a massive audience. So many people are interested in learning more about this and how we are declining as a society, not just men, but I mean, that's your focus for the book, but women as well. But again, your specific scope for this book is focused on the men. Give us some brief overview as to what you expose in this book.
Yeah, so there's a big literature on the sort of crisis of masculinity. You know, I mean, Jordan Peterson was catapulted to fame through his appeals to young men and his appeals to young men to clean their rooms, you know, to take control of their lives and to kind of rise to the occasion and actually be men rather than perpetual teenagers. So there's a lot of writing on this topic, but actually there isn't a lot of writing on the biological roots of this crisis. And I think there are biological roots to the crisis. You know, so 15 years ago, you had 10 years ago, you had Alex Jones talking about the gay frogs, mm-hmm. right? And he was roundly mocked for suggesting that actually, you know, toxic chemicals in the food supply and the water might be having gender bending effects. They might be lowering testosterone, making men less masculine. Well, that's actually true. That is actually true. And there's a chapter in the book where I talk about the gay frogs theory. And I say, yes. Look, Alex Jones was right. You know, people chose not to take him seriously because they wanted to portray him as a crazy right-wing conspiracy theorist. But he was talking about science. He was pointing towards particular scientific studies that had been done and that had been taken very seriously by the mainstream media when they were released 5 years earlier in sort of 2010. But the book, yes, the book is about the biological roots of masculine decline in the West. So we've seen a civilizational decline in testosterone levels. That's the main marker, I think, of this biological decline among men is the decline in testosterone levels. So they're cratering. It's something like 1% year on year. So that might not sound like very much, but 25 years, that's a quarter, 50 years, that's half. What's going to happen in a century? You know, is there going to be any testosterone at all? And testosterone is the master male hormone. It's what makes men men. It's not the only thing that makes men men. You know, the man with the most testosterone in the world isn't necessarily the manliest man in the world. Mm-hmm. But there is nevertheless a very, very strong association between testosterone levels and masculinity. It not only is responsible for muscle mass, it's responsible for things like mood and motivation, libido. And, you know, when you see a man who actually has low testosterone, then it's really something. And there are whole forums devoted to what life is like with low testosterone on Reddit, for example, or Low T, where I actually take some testimonies in the book from men about, you know, what's it like to have low testosterone? Just how bad is a man's life when he has low testosterone? And the answer is it's terrible. Mm-hmm. It's terrible. So the book is really an examination of the biological roots of this crisis. Toxic chemicals, obesity, stress, lack of sleep, all sorts of things like that. But there are also solutions in the book as well. So that's one of the things. I mean, it's a serious problem. It's a really big problem, mm-hmm. you know, really big problem. We're facing these unprecedented changes in the hormonal, the male hormonal environment and the female hormonal environment. But there are things that we can do. And, you know, that's something that my work has always been focused on is simple solutions to the problem, simple interventions that you can make in order to improve your testosterone. Like, for instance, fixing your sleep, which is a, you know, which is a kind of underappreciated factor actually in hormonal health is sleep. So there was a study that showed, for example, that a man who doubles his sleep from 4 hours a night to 8 hours a night can double his testosterone.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is pretty, but yes, it's an intervention in the crisis of masculinity literature, but the focus is quite unique, I think. There isn't really a book like this that talks about the biological roots of masculinity and how they're under assault from so many different directions all at once in the modern world.
Yeah, and I think that's really important, too, because I know a lot of people are talking now about the water, like you were just saying. Mm. Although a lot of people think it's a joke, it's serious when we talk about the frogs being gay, because there's a lot of things that are being put into our water. Mm. And you know, one of those things is females who are on birth control, and when they're using the bathroom, that ends up in our water supply. Do you want to touch upon that? Because that has to do exactly with men.
Yes, it does. Yeah, no, birth control in the water supply is a big problem.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to get rid of it. But what's worse, actually, I think, even than birth control, is the fact that basically every single industrial chemical, whether we're talking about glyphosate or whether we're talking about the chemicals that are used in plastics, phthalates, BPA, things like that, they're all estrogenic. So they all mimic the female hormone estrogen in the human body. So we're under assault constantly from these chemicals that are interfering with the very vital ratio between testosterone to estrogen in the human body. So that's what determines whether you're male or female. So if you're a man, you have more testosterone than estrogen. If you're a woman, you have more estrogen than testosterone. And these chemicals that we're, taking into our bodies every single day in the food, in the water, in the air, through contact with plastics, just through touching plastics, even touching receipts, enter our bodies and they interfere with this ratio between testosterone to estrogen, and it has all sorts of terrible effects. It can make people infertile. It can cause the development of reproductive cancers. It affects the metabolic rate. It can make you put on weight. it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. Mm-hmm. And, we've woken up very late to this problem. Thankfully, I think we are waking up now. So, you know, this is something that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has talked about at great length and has made central to the Make America Healthy Again agenda is addressing the toxic burden of modern life and doing something about harmful chemicals. That's why the glyphosate, suit is so important because look, I mean, we have the evidence now and manufacturers do need to do something about how toxic their chemicals are. They can't just be insulated from the harms that they're causing.
Yeah, no, and they shouldn't be. They shouldn't be. And I think this is why it's so important for folks to understand what's going on here. Because again, this is like a, I would say it's like a war on our men at this point. I mean, this, you're getting hit from all different fronts, but the chemical fronts, from just simply tap water is a big one. And again, just to bring my dog into it. He doesn't even drink tap water. He's got filtered water, for Berkeley. So this is like one of our things. But, I also want to ask you this because I think it's really important to highlight. This isn't just, and I understand that it's probably like a medical interest when it comes to the chemicals that are being pushed into our food and our water supplies you detail in your book. But also our adversaries would really love it for our men to have low T. Can you explain that a little bit for our audience, what that means to them?
Yeah, well, I just think, look, a society of low testosterone individuals is a weak society.
Yeah.
A society of weak men is a weak society. I mean, a nation is only as strong as the individuals of which it's composed. So if you have a nation of overweight, ill, chronically ill people who are dependent upon the government, it affects life in every single way. I mean, it doesn't just affect military recruitment, although that's a serious thing. I mean, you know, recruiters have for a long time been warning about, you know, declining rates of fitness, declining rates of health. You know, it's much harder to, the average man is much less likely to be fit and healthy and ready to serve than he would have been in the past. I mean, you know, health is a national security issue, but also I think just in general, it affects the political process in so many ways. And one of the funny things that I talk about in the book is actually, you know, the decline of testosterone in Western civilization in many ways tracks with the leftward shift of societies in the West too. Mm-hmm. And there are all sorts of very funny scientific studies that show, for example, that if you give men a dose of testosterone, you basically make them more right wing. So personality and social psychologists will do these experiments where they give men testosterone gel on the arm or a placebo. And then they'll measure their attitudes towards certain things or their actions or whatever. And if you give a man a dose of testosterone, you make him happier, among other things, with hierarchy. You know? And a properly ordered society is a hierarchical society. You know, some people are better at other things than, you know, other people. And, you know, you have to have some kind of hierarchy to have a functioning society. And the left-wing project has been the elimination of hierarchy since the French Revolution. So, yeah, I mean, I think that a low testosterone society is a very particular kind of society, more likely to be left-wing, easier to govern in certain fundamental respects, less likely to be patriotic. So, yeah, I mean, it's not hard to see how it would benefit America's adversaries, actually, for Americans to be so unhealthy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the reason why we're hitting on all these fronts. And so this does make sense in that angle from all of it. I want to ask you more about the hormones, though. You know, folks at home are looking to possibly get themselves tested to see where they fall in all of this. Where would you recommend they start?
Well, I mean, one of the problems, actually, you know, with this testosterone decline is that nobody agrees on the precise definition of low testosterone. So you can go to one doctor and get measured and he'll say, oh, no, your testosterone levels are fine. And then you'll go to another doctor and he'll say, oh my God, you are low testosterone. We need to get you on testosterone replacement therapy. So there's no real agreement. I think you have to work on the basis of symptoms, and the symptoms of testosterone deficiency are very, very clear in men. It's things like, well, you might develop man boobs, for example. That's one of the most worrying physical manifestations.
Yeah, Bill Gates.
Exactly. Yeah, in his lovely lilac sweater,
yeah,
looking like the pregnant man emoji. So I mean, working on symptomology is probably the best way to do it. You know, like, oh, you lack motivation. You're anxious. You don't have any libido. You're putting on weight, that kind of thing. Yeah, maybe go get tested. But fundamentally, I mean, one of the main things that I recommend is not going straight to testosterone replacement therapy for men, at least. Unless you have a congenital problem, unless you, there's an actual biological reason, genetic reason why you can't produce enough testosterone, you can absolutely transform your hormonal profile just through working out, cleaning up your diet, getting more sleep, etc. But yeah, I mean, the first thing you can do really is to look at, am I satisfied with my life? How do I feel? Do I feel like someone who has high testosterone or low testosterone, and work from there? But really mainly it's about cleaning up your life. It's about, you know, making your life better, working out, eating the right kinds of foods, getting sunlight, sleeping.
Yeah, which are all key things. You know, it's funny because I actually did go to a med spa and I got tested to see where I fall on all my hormones and everything. And the guy did tell me that I was low on testosterone and I should take some testosterone. And I was like, dude, I don't want to grow a mustache. I don't think the audience would like it if I had a facial hair, especially our audience.
Well, this is a new thing, actually. There've been quite a few pieces, I think, in, I can't remember whether it was the New York Times or the New Yorker, or it might even have been both. A lot of women now are taking testosterone. Yeah. It's a big thing. I mean, it boosts libido, for example. I mean, it makes women kind of ravenous, actually, if they go on testosterone. But it's a thing. Like, women in their 40s are doing it a lot.
Yeah,
it's being pushed quite hard. But women do need testosterone. This is another thing. You know, it's not like men are all testosterone and women are all estrogen. No, you need the balance. Mm-hmm. You need the balance. And actually, you know, as a man, having too little estrogen is as bad as having too little testosterone, right?
Yeah.
Estrogen is responsible for brain health, for example, bone health and all sorts of other things. So, but yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. I know. Because he get it lasered. I'm like, no, our audience will not accept it if I have a mustache and I'm telling them the news. It's just not a thing that we do over on InfoWars. But, you know, Charles, your book is amazing. And again, folks, you got to head on over to Amazon if you're looking to look at all this, the Western decline, the men specifically, though, through a hormone lens. You got to head on over right now to Amazon and grab this book, The Last Men. This is very important. Liberalism and Death of Masculinity. That is the book that you're going to snatch right now over at Amazon. Put it in your cart. Cash it out. Get this one. This is going to be a good one. I think I'm going to get this book for Eric Swalwell and Bill Gates and just send it to their homes, because I have a feeling they probably aren't aware that they're low on their tea these days. And so this would be a nice way to kind of let them know of that. But, you know, Charles, it's great to have you in studio. And we're always honored, as always, to have you here. I know you're doing the big tour today, so we look forward to seeing you on with Alex and Harrison as well. But, folks, that does it for us here on The American Journal. We'll catch you here again tomorrow working on a big show, so we look forward to having you back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Minkowitz, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after The Onion said they bought us, we might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.